This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life? Make me look like a freaking idiot?
Paul Perillo.
I see you're drinking 1%. Is that because you think you're fat?
And Andy. And Andy?
You going to eat your tots?
Andy Hart.
Give some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today.
Eric Scalavino.
Aren't you pretty good at drawing, like, animals and warriors and stuff?
Yes. Probably the best that I know of.
For now, anyway.
It took me like 3 hours to finish the shading on your upper lip. It's probably the best drawing I've ever done.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? A coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions. I'd have gone pro, you know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, and we begin our off-season schedule today, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 12 to 2. That's the way it's going to be from now until, well, next September, I guess. But we'll have special shows for the draft and all that stuff and draft reports and things like that. But we have to talk about the last weekend of the NFL regular season, and we have a lot of emailers wanting to get things off their chest today about what it felt like having to root for the Jets and how Brett Favre is a piece of dirt, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's a tough day. It's a day of reconciliation, of sort of, getting ready for the offseason, I guess, because it's over.
You can take a breath finally.
11-5, and it's over.
It's been a hectic year and a half, I'd say. For
Eric's here, by the way.
That's the earliest he's ever talked on
right,
the
show. Paul's here.
I've hosted the show.
Andy's doing
that's the earliest you've ever talked.
So we're all here. Andy might be down a little later.
He's working on Ask PFW. I don't know. I asked him how far he was, and he said he wasn't really sure. He hadn't checked.
Okay.
But I'm not sure he'll be down. I'm not sure he's in a rush.
All right.
I have a beef about Ask PFWs.
You do?
With some of the emailers we've had this week.
Yeah?
These same people who were chastising and criticizing, and I'm fine with that part, by the way, of Mangini and all that happened with him and the Jets and all that's going on. These same people are now writing in saying, oh, what do you think the chances are that he'll come back here?
Are you kidding me?
No,
tons of them,
several.
Fred.
Well, please don't answer those.
Intention of it.
Well, Andy's answering him, so.
But the fact that,
that he won't be rushing down.
Idiot. Freaking idiot.
You spend all this time, saying what a rat the guy is, and that may be true they want to speculate on if he's coming back here.
We got to get into all the coaching changes and the openings that, of course, directly affect the Patriots because the reports out of Cleveland are that Scott Pioli is interested in at least talking about what they have to offer him. What does it mean for Josh McDaniels? What does it mean for Romeo Crennel? Now he's out of a job. Is there an opening here for Romeo Crennel? Although the word is out of Cleveland that he could stay there, but in a, as a coordinator or something.
Would you?
Yeah, which I think is fascinating.
I mean, they like him.
I'm not sure that I'm not sure it makes a lot of sense for Romeo to do that, and I'm not sure a new head coach would want that.
Right.
He's loved. Yeah. The players love him.
Sure.
And I think that it would take a guy that, A, might have a relationship with Romeo going in, and, B, would be have to be awfully secure.
Yeah.
Because, you know what I'm saying? He's the defensive coordinator, and the players love him, and he was the head coach. It's hard for Romeo, but if he's willing to do it, I think it makes it hard for that new coach.
What if Mangini went there?
Well, that's another
thing. Or McDaniels.
Right. Well, what if Pioli came in, said, okay, I'll be your general manager, but, I think with me, Romeo could work as head coach. Maybe they'd bring him back up and make him head coach again.
But the question is, would he want to do that?
Right.
After having done that?
I can't see that happening because Randy Lerner fired him. I mean, obviously, it wasn't Savage because Savage got fired too. So now you're saying the owner thought he wasn't any good, but he was talked into.
Yeah.
I don't see that.
I don't know. But anyway, there's a lot of hot stove stuff. It's just happening.
Well, the fascinating part is twofold, and it's unfortunate on one part that we're not in the playoffs, so it's an extra month of this, silly season that you have to talk about all this stuff. But the fascinating part of it on the other side is at three high levels, the Patriots are directly involved. Scott Pioli in the personnel department, Josh McDaniels as a potential head coach, and Matt Cassel possibly being the most coveted free agent available. Right. And the possibilities of all three of those men going to the same place, I think it's fun. I think it's fun to talk about. Yeah. Now, Cleveland doesn't make any sense for Cassel.
Right.
But the other two could possibly go to Cleveland.
And normally we don't talk about this stuff because we're still playing.
We're always playing.
You know, so now we're in the thick of it. And, of course, on top of this all, you have this report from Tom Curran about Brady, you know, being behind schedule and possibly missing 09, which was then refuted by Peter King Sunday night, saying his sources say that he's ahead of schedule, everything is fine. You know, so who knows? Paul, you were on for 4 hours this morning. By the way, this is a big, big day for Paul Perillo.
Oh, I meant to tell you this.
He's in all his whoredom glory.
Oh, yes. Remember how the last thing I said to you yesterday, I said, I got to see if I can work out a Comcast gig.
Yeah.
Well, when I left, I had a text on my phone that I didn't know about until I get out and I open my phone. I had a text from Comcast. They wanted me to do 9 o'clock tonight.
Wow.
I had to turn it down.
Oh, really?
I'm going to do Friday instead.
So 6 to 10 on EEI. The morning show.
The morning, yeah.
With Mike Felger.
Well, not all of it. I told you many times to burn that.
Not all of it.
I'm going to have something good for you, though, coming soon. Maybe even today.
Then he does 12 to 2
with us. I'll send it right down and you'll enjoy it.
12 to 2 with us. That's small potatoes.
Yep.
Then he goes and we film the TV show. And he was asked to do TV tonight. Wow.
Well, evidently, I'm going to have to get them all in.
And you're a handsome man like Paul. You know, you're a hot commodity,
and he's
right?
got a non-TV shirt on.
I was a rebel today. I went with the most un-TV shirt
gaudiest,
come up with.
The gaudiest TV shirt.
The stripes make you look slim, Paul.
The idea.
Well, it's actually the opposite, but it's not going to – I don't know if you know anything about TV over there.
No, he doesn't.
Hot shot, but you don't wear stripes on TV.
Yeah, Paul's got this black and white thin stripe shirt that is going to make him look hot in a bad way on TV.
Now, you're not exactly going to look – You know,
you're not going to look much better.
Much
than me.
Better. You know, have a striped shirt.
Mine's
on,
a lighter color.
Andy will probably get off the least because his kind of
he has the checkered. He has the
all three of our shirts are kind of in TV 101 in terms of no do.
Right.
All three of us.
Right.
Of course, both Andy and Fred took it upon themselves to make fun of me.
Well, yours is even tough.
It is. Mine's the worst of the three. I checked this out with the only guy here that has TV experience on the way down without the cackling hyenas in the background.
Right.
And Eric sort of backed me up, said that mine was the worst of the three. But
you'll all have issues.
But all three of us will have issues.
All right. So
I figure I can't look any worse on that show. I look like I'm dead. I'm so pale white on that show.
Unless you have a producer who doesn't really care, then you're fine. I wouldn't worry.
I think next year we go with suits.
I think next year we shop our services elsewhere.
Guys are here. Well, obviously, Fred Kurtz.
Whatever. Wherever we land or stay, I think we should get a men's clothier sponsor.
In, a haberdasher.
Yeah. Paul Perillo's wardrobe made possible
by
so-and-so.
Yeah.
You know, big and tall.
Start the bidding now. The pot calling the kettle black.
Was that a shot at me again?
No,
yes.
No,
unbelievable.
Yes, it was.
That's, you know.
He says no as his face turns red and he's cackling over
there. Which brings me to the thing I just alluded to that I had for Dan that I'm going to be getting soon.
Oh, yeah. You're going to love this.
This is just great. You can't even make this stuff up. What are the listeners of PFW, in terms of me, individually with me, what do they most want from Paul Perillo?
Solo shows.
They want that solo show, right?
Right.
Well, I got a little something for him today because my buddy Mike Felger, who's a day late and a dollar short in life, except for the fact that, you know,
he makes more money,
than God. 6 o'clock this morning, Paul Perillo's ready to do the show. Michael Felger nowhere to be found. He shows up at 6:30. So on WEEI,
right,
you know,
all by his lonesome.
Sports radio,
WEEI,
biggest
the most
sports
popular
all sports
station in America, as they like to tell you all the time.
Oh, bigger than the Fan?
6 to 6:30.
All by yourself.
Solo.
What did you do?
Not good.
Boring. Did the producer help you out?
Well, I talked to the producer like a couple of times. I directed a couple of things at him. But all I did was sort of say, first I made fun of Felger and then just said, luckily there's a ton of stuff to talk about and we're going to get into all of that. We talked about the NFL.
People called in?
No.
No?
But I set the stage for people to call in.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I didn't. If I had realized I was going to have to do that, I wasn't even at the call screener. Because there were like three calls lined up waiting to help me out.
You just had your regular chair?
Yeah, I was, you know, up the this.
Paul, do you have a regular chair there?
Yeah.
Is this Paul on it?
No.
Oh.
No. But it's like one of the guest chairs. The host usually sits in the pit where the call screener is.
It's in a pit?
Yeah, well, it's like
lower?
It's a table, you know, that has like a little slot inside.
Is our studio better?
Not better, but you know, not really any worse.
Really, it's about the same.
Yeah.
Is theirs fancier? They have more buttons and stuff.
Well, yeah, yeah. They have like the talk back and the cough and all those buttons. You like buttons? You're a gadget.
Buttons are good. Yeah. I don't get them right, but I like having them.
You just like to push.
Yeah,
buttons.
Just like.
So I'm told the producer told me that he's going to put that up on the website, but he's also going to send me a file. So I will send it to Dan in
12 minutes of uninterrupted Paul.
Yeah, it wasn't that long because by the time the show actually starts and then we went to a break.
Right.
And it was bad. I mean, like, listen, when you're talking by yourself, you're not – I'm sorry. If you're not used to doing that, you're not going to sound good.
All right.
But you guys can have some fun because I'm sure I made a fool of myself.
People won't like this show.
So this game that the Patriots played on Sunday was probably one of the most interesting games to watch because of the way the wind was such a huge factor. It was unbelievable just watching in warm-ups and watching how both teams had to, you know, basically just eliminate the pass, eliminate anything that, you know, wasn't ball control because of the wind. I mean, and when I say wind, we had like 65-mile-an-hour gusts.
It was as bad as I've seen it ever in a game.
Worst I've seen.
I mean, if you happened to throw the ball and there wasn't a gust, you could, you know, if it was a moderate to short distance, you could rifle it in there. But if a gust came, you were out of luck.
Well, that's a point I was trying to make on the radio that day. And they were saying, well, that should really help the Patriots because of their short passing game and all the screens they run. And I said, you could throw the screens out the window. You're not going to see screens
today. The touch passes are impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, almost everything that was thrown on both sides had to really be stepped into and fired.
Yeah.
You weren't getting it there otherwise. There were, you know, a couple of exceptions, little flips in the flat to Heath Evans early in the game. I think Kevin Falk caught one as well. Mm-hmm. But you didn't see screens. You weren't throwing the ball often parallel to the line of scrimmage. That was a recipe for disaster if you tried that.
And, Castle and Edwards were able to connect on a few passes, but it was in between gusts. We saw when a gust came with a couple of those field goals, they'd start out fine, and then it just took it.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Well, Lindell's I thought was hilarious.
Lindell's was roll crazy.
It was a line shot.
He actually kicked it. I think he was compensating for the wind. He kicked it, you know, to the left, anticipating that it would hook in, but it hooked way farther than he anticipated, and it ended up in the stands over there. It was
yeah.
And Gostkowski's short one that went up and over to the side was equally.
What about Gostkowski's extra point that landed just over the goal?
Did it actually go over? Because I thought it came back. Now, no. It still would be good, right? I mean, once it goes over the crossbar, it's good.
Yeah, it did go over.
I thought it had come back.
No.
Someone had told me that yesterday, but no. I didn't get a good. That was, you know, it was amazing. The conditions they played in, I just think it's another testament to the team.
That's what I mean.
They were able to win in so many different ways and in different conditions, and first and foremost without their quarterback. I think it was an amazing season.
And you speak of how tough it was to throw in the wind. There was one pass. There were very few passes, like we said, but there was one pass from Castle to Welker over the middle going left to right
as
we were watching. The slant pass, which was a tremendous throw by Castle.
Tremendous catch
by Welker in traffic. In those conditions, it was amazing that they were able to do what they were able to do, even though it was a limited number of plays that they were able to throw the ball. It was incredible. Both sides. Even Edwards was pretty
even when he was relegated at the end of the game to having to throw the ball on every play, he was completing a lot.
He was.
You know? I mean, 14 for 20-something. I think it was 14 for 25 or something like that. Doesn't sound that great. But believe me when I tell you, that's a good percentage in the conditions that he was playing in.
And
Castle, I thought, played
6 of 8.
I don't think you can play the game. I don't think you can play the position better than he played it.
Yeah,
I really don't. I mean, his decisions on fourth down to run the football. He had Mike Vrabel wide open on one of those fourth down plays, but it was a good 20 yards, and I'm not sure he would have been able to get the ball there.
Yeah.
And I think
his running ability saved them.
And he made a quick decision right there to make sure he got the first down and took the safe play. Again, I just think it's another feather in his cap. Did you hear Bill talking about him yesterday on EEI?
Not on EEI, no.
Just went. I'm stating what we've been talking about all year, but just how his continued development and maturation to recognize the situation so quickly and sort of decipher those and make the right call from the beginning of the season to the end. He said there's no question how much better he's played as the season's gone on. And again, I you got to give a lot of credit to him.
I think overall the fact that the Patriots finished 11-5 the way they did, I think it actually proves two points. It proves that you do need talent in this league. and that you can't win without team in football. It proves both, you know, believe it or not, because I think, you know, losing Brady and Adalys Thomas and Rodney Harrison, I think if they hadn't lost them, they'd be in the playoffs now. But without the way this team is structured, they wouldn't be 11-5. So I think it proves both things, that both are important in the game of football.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
You know?
So. It's also, you know, I know a lot of fans are disappointed that the way it's structured that, you know, a team that's 11-5 like New England doesn't get in the playoffs, an 8-8 team like San Diego does get in. Richard Seymour yesterday made a good point when asked that direct question. You know, the last day in the locker room for several months now, we had a chance to talk to a few guys, and somebody asked Seymour that question, and his answer was, well, you know, how mad can we really be? Look at the teams who are in the playoffs. You know, we lost to Indy. We lost to San Diego.
Right.
We lost to Pittsburgh.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, obviously 11-5 you wish you were in, but, you know, we can't be too mad because we put ourselves in the situation.
Right.
They were 2-4 against playoff teams.
Had they won one of those games, they'd be in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I, you know, talking to Ty Warren and Vince Wilfork yesterday, you know, in a similar kind of situation, you know, I asked him, I said, is there one, you know, you keep saying one more win. You know, Vince said, you know, look, we just needed one more win. And two things that I was struck with. One, you brought up at the very beginning of the show about the Jets. No one had anything bad to say about the Jets, because I think and Bill talked about this and the players talked about this, and I agree with them. It wasn't the Jets' fault that they didn't make the playoffs. It wasn't Baltimore or Jacksonville's fault that they didn't make the playoffs. It was the Patriots' fault that they put themselves in such a bad position at 7-5 that they had no margin for error and needed other people to help them.
Having said that,
they needed one more win. So I asked, you know, Ty and Vince, you know, is there one? Was there one that stood out? Thinking, you know, it's either the Colts or the Jets, you know?
Yeah.
Because the other three really weren't close. And they just, you know, it was like they would start to say the Colts, but then they would start to say the Jets, and you could tell that they were really, really
– tough call.
Really beating themselves up over that.
I just thought the Colts was just such a well – I thought the game plan was just right. I think the execution was just right.
The Jets game would bother me more.
Except for a few – like three plays, and that was the difference. You know, other than that, they played a really good game against the Colts.
They played a great game. They held them to 18 points.
Yeah.
I think they played a great game against the Colts, and I don't think they played a great game against the
Jets.
That's why the Jets would bother me more.
Right.
I think the Colts played well that day, too.
Yeah.
Give the Colts credit.
Sure.
It was a tight, tough game.
Both teams played well. They were struggling.
The Patriots made a couple of mistakes at the end, and the Colts didn't.
That was the beginning of their 9-game winning streak.
Hey, the Jets game, I thought they played like crap for 2.5 quarters. They made a nice comeback, and then they lost in overtime.
Look, let's not forget about who did win the AFC East, the Miami Dolphins. And if it weren't for some fluke college play that they got tricked on in week 3, they'd be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You can look at any one of these games.
True.
Yeah, see, they didn't look at it that way. They were like, you know,
no, they didn't.
That's good game planning, and they pulled one over.
It is
on
good
us.
Game planning.
Yeah, they got beat
and I think Vince actually is the one. No, actually it was Ty. He brought this up, and he said, you know, when Bill comes out with these game plans that really throw the other team for a loop, that's good coaching.
Right.
So we're not going to say that.
No,
we got caught. We weren't ready.
I think they got beat every bit as badly against Miami as they did against Pittsburgh. You know, a lot of people said, well, if the Patriots hadn't turned the ball over 5 times against Pittsburgh forced that. I mean, except for Slater.
Slater was the only one that was unforced.
But those were a product of the pressure Pittsburgh defense.
But
just like I think Miami just simply beat the Patriots that day.
Oh, they did, but they did it for 4 quarters. Pittsburgh beat them for 1 quarter.
Right. But that's my point, that a lot of people say, "Oh, you know, Pittsburgh beat us more." I don't think
so. They
I
didn't.
Think
Miami beat them
every
a lot
bit
more.
As much, if not more, on that day.
Miami was more
beat
of a, more
the
of a,
Patriots on
more
the,
of
on
a
the other day.
I would agree that I would agree with that. I think Miami outplayed them the whole game.
Absolutely.
Pittsburgh, I thought, was a very even game at the half, and Pittsburgh blew us out in the second half.
Right.
You know, but Miami, I thought, really, from they got a huge break on that first drive. Remember, that was the game that Castle shook free of that sack and ran for a touchdown, and they called him in the grass.
Right.
But then the next play, they picked off a pass. And
right.
Patriots were never in that game again.
My only point in bringing up the Dolphins was that you never see that. You like Taiwan.
Oh no, I agree.
Yeah. You never see the.
Right.
But it's like the no defense. It's like the no defensive lineman that the Patriots threw out
Buffalo.
There. You never see
right.
that either. It's just a wrinkle that you throw out there, and they weren't able to handle it.
So
you know?
I'm not buying that. But you know, we talked about the Jets and that they weren't upset with the Jets winning. It's you know, in terms of they're not blaming the Jets for not getting.
They can't.
But
right.
I do.
I hate the Jets.
I know,
I'm the most upset about that. I really convinced myself that the Jets were going to win the game. I thought the Jets were going
to
win.
And I worked hard doing that to myself all last
week. You tried to
convince
me that I was wrong.
Yeah, I worked hard at convincing myself that the Jets have a chance and they will win this game. And
I think by Sunday,
I was feeling, you know, not confident, but optimistic about it.
I was just
the
other way.
But then soon, you know, God.
We all predicted the Jets, but as the week went on, I got less and less confident. And by Sunday morning, I was thinking, you know what? I don't think the Jets are going to win.
Everything that I hate about the Jets came true. They stink. They suck. Right up to when they fired Mangini, which I'm glad they did. But having
hated the way they did it.
Having that Tannenbaum sit next to the owner. First of all, you're the owner. And you're gonna trust the coaching search to a guy who probably should be fired himself. So he's naturally gonna not look for someone who's gonna want full control.
Did you read that in Florio? I thought Florio wrote.
I thought it myself when I watched it live.
But no, I'm just made a couple of great cracks that he had. You know, like, you know, be prepared for Bill Cowher's not a right quote,
right.
Fit.
Oh, I did right. Yeah.
You know, because Tannenbaum needs to save his job. A guy like Bill Cowher's going to come in and say, "Yeah, I'll take the job. Yeah. I want total control."
He is a typical,
Tannenbaum's out.
Yeah.
Typical. Probably never played a sport in his life. He was a numbers cruncher. Now he's overcompensating as a football guy. They said something. Tannenbaum said something in that press conference that just made me laugh. He said, you know, I like Eric Mangini. I consider him a friend. You know, I respect him. He did a lot of great things, you know.
Set the foundation up.
Set the foundation. Right. You know, things that we want to build on, and we're going to go in another direction.
Yeah.
What? You know, what you just said.
He was that great, you should have kept him.
Just contradicted everything you just said.
And
you know?
I think
we're going to build on it, but we're going to go in a different direction.
It sounds like the Jets players were kind of a little caught off guard with the decision too. It sounded like they felt like Mangini was going to be back from what I've read in some of the New York papers.
I don't know.
Got a lot of criticism. Did you see some of the anonymous quotes about that situation with Jets players saying, "We were a physical offense. We had Thomas Jones and we were at our best when we were pounding Thomas Jones between the tackles with our offensive line that we rebuilt."
Right.
And
spent a lot of money.
And the coaches just insisted on catering to Brett Favre and Schottenheimer. They were really critical of Schottenheimer and Mangini, saying that they continued to throw all these passes. And it was evident on Sunday they had 40 passes and 20 runs against Miami, who really is not a great defense.
Well, does Brian Daboll lose his job? I mean, he was brought in specifically by Mangini from here.
And my guess is he will, yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm excited to be a head coach.
But, I mean, how can you keep Tannenbaum? You know, I would assume he's the guy that brought in all these free agents. He's the guy that drafted Vernon Golston, who doesn't even play. Was he a fifth round, number five pick?
I think he was six. But
six?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You know, and he doesn't even play on game day. You know, if I'm a new head coach coming in there, I'm not answering to him.
Yeah, I think that they did a nice job in the offseason of improving the team. And I think that most of the moves that they made.
On paper.
No, well, I'm telling you, I think most of the moves they made panned out.
Yeah.
I mean, I think their offensive line was much better with Faneca and Woody. I don't think that either one of those guys is as good as they were, say, 3 years ago. But it's an improvement over what they had. I think Calvin Pace, he's not Lawrence Taylor. He's not this, you know, super edge pass rusher, but I think he had a pretty good year. Chris Jenkins looked like ran out of gas down the stretch, but that was a good move for them that really helped solidify that run defense. And I think that most of those moves that they made worked. I don't think the Brett Favre move worked, and I think, and I said it at the time, I think they'd have been better off with Chad Pennington.
Well, everyone's saying that now, and obviously
we predicted it in the paper,
But if you're Woody Johnson, don't you look at Tannenbaum and say, okay, you had a decision to make. You decided that Chad Pennington, we needed to
get
rid of him.
But Woody Johnson's part of the problem. He thinks that he wants Favre back.
Well, he's saying that, but I think that what you do.
Why would you just say it?
Because you
the
don't.
Fans
think,
don't want it.
I think that he's not going to be the one to make that decision.
No, but I think that he was instrumental in making the decision in the first place.
Well, then they're all deluded there. I mean, they've all bought and drank the Kool-Aid because, as Mike Felger's been saying, and everybody else who's
you
been watching
heard him this
morning, Mike Felger, Brett Favre is not that good a quarterback anymore.
And
it's been a long time.
I've been on that bandwagon for a long time.
But I mean, Jeff George throws a nice ball downfield, too, but yeah. He doesn't have a job and hasn't had one for a long time.
Happy holidays to all Favre sucks.
Here's what I really hope, that we don't go through another offseason like we had last year, where we went 7 months wondering, what's going to happen with Brett Favre?
Well, one more of these might not go 7 months, but you're going to go a couple.
Look, Dan Leberfeld was at the press conference yesterday. He runs Jets Confidential. It's like the Patriots Football Weekly for the Jets. He's been covering the team for a long time, as long as I've been covering the Patriots, and he works for Sirius. But he's willing to ask the hard questions. And one of the questions he asked that I thought was just a great question is, you know, Brett mentioned that he might have a problem with his shoulder and that he's going to get an MRI after the season. You know, an MRI takes about 10 minutes. Why didn't you have an MRI, you know, 4 weeks ago? And Woody Johnson, I couldn't believe the answer. Well, getting an MRI is up to the player. What? Are you kidding me? Come on. And he even said, it's up to the player. You mean like the team doctors, the trainers don't say that, hey, we need to send you for an MRI? No, it's really a player. It's up to the player. Yeah, Can you believe that?
I'll fall back on Felger, our buddy, who used to come in here every Friday and rip Brett Favre. It's the same old pattern with Favre. I threw 9 interceptions in the last 4 games. My arm hurts.
Right.
Oh, my arm hurts. He said he was rifling the ball. I didn't watch the game because we were obviously flying home, but he was rifling passes at guys' feet, had guys wide open. He was missing them. It wasn't a physical issue. He's just all over the place.
Yeah.
And he's been that way for a long time.
The last 5 or 6 years.
He doesn't protect the football.
That's right.
He never has protected the football particularly well. He just used to make more plays than mistakes. Now it's no longer the case.
He can't run anymore. That took away a big part of his game.
They had 2 big games last year when he was with the Packers.
He lost
at
them
Dallas.
Both.
And then at home in the NFC Championship game. Lost both.
Right.
And that's why on Sunday morning when I woke up, I was feeling less and less confident. I was thinking, you know what? This is a must-win game, not only for us but for the Jets, because they could end up winning the division or getting in the playoffs.
That Dallas game, that was a big game. I think they were both undefeated at the time or something like that. I don't know.
But
it was a big game.
One or two losses.
Best team, supposedly. Yeah. It was a featured game. He came out on that game was just throwing air balls and just to no one. I mean, it was like he was out of his head.
And what happened? My elbow hurts.
Yeah.
My arm hurts. Remember?
Yeah.
You know, like, don't blame me because I'm throwing these moon balls up there. Well, Brett, you do that every week. Is your arm always hurt?
It's incredible.
He's got to go away.
And so the bottom line is that's how I entered last week thinking, oh, my God, all my chips are in Brett Favre's basket. And I was right to think that because he lost the game.
He did.
Sure did.
But, you know,
I mean, they went up 17-14, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, maybe they got a shot here.
That Miami team, you got to give them credit because they never look like the better team. But 11 out of 16 times, they won.
Yep.
And it's a testament to protecting the football and just believing you can win.
Now, I think San Diego's going to go down there. I think they're going to beat them.
Baltimore.
I think Baltimore's going to beat them.
I think Baltimore would have been a very tough out even for New England.
Yeah.
I think the best thing the Patriots would have had going for them against Baltimore, I think, is the fact that it's going to be the first playoff game for Joe Flacco and John Harbaugh.
I think,
you know, you never know how guys are going to react.
Exactly.
You never know that.
Yep.
No, it also would have been the first playoff game for Matt Cassel.
Yeah.
But, you know, in my opinion, that Baltimore is a good football team, and they're playing – People don't realize how much progress Joe Flacco made. They don't just hand the ball off every play. I found that out that Saturday night against Dallas. Joe Flacco won that game. People point to those 2 runs at the end. They already had enough points to win the game because of plays that Joe Flacco made with Derek Mason.
No, it's a good story. I mean, here's a guy that came out of, you know, nowhere. A lot of people liked him, but he wasn't really a high.
There was that uncertainty because of the level he played in college. Give him credit.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. On the phone right now is Chris with the TIAN. Chris, how you doing?
All right. What's going on?
Oh, you know, we're just settling into the off season and hot stove talk and bashing the Jets.
Great. Excellent.
Yep.
Does it get any better than that?
I mean, you know, Fred, I mean, I got to worry about your mental status right now. I mean, how are you? Seriously?
No, you know what? I'm resigned to the fact that I think they did as well as they could do coming out 11-5, you know, and they didn't leave anything on the table. There wasn't, you know, there wasn't anything where you could say, wow, you know, they just didn't do as well as they could have done.
Like, they
gave it all, and I think, you know, we saw a lot of, you know, future and Gerard Mayo and mm-hmm. you know, perhaps Will Hite and other guys. So I'm okay with it. I'm okay.
Yeah, you can't even say in any of the losses, well, geez, they really were flat that day.
Or right.
They really didn't. They got beat badly three times, and they had the two close games that we just talked about. But
I think the San Diego game was.
But I think that was a bad game plan. I don't think it was because they weren't trying.
Well, no, but it was a bad game plan. But I hear what you're saying.
My point being is, I really think that's you can't get blood from a stone. I think that was what was available. I think they maximized what they had to give all year for 16 games.
Yeah, I can't be upset with that.
Yeah, steady improvement, I think, throughout the year. I mean, they got better as they went on. The running game got better, you know. The defense, you know, they became a little bit more aggressive down the stretch, too. They looked a little better in spurts. So, I mean, hey, 11 wins. San Diego's in at 8-8. What are you going to do? You know, Denver blew the division lead. They're in the weak division. You know, I hear a lot of people saying, you know, this year, especially Pats fans, sort of I've been reading on the boards, well, you know, now we don't get a good draft pick because we're 11-5 and this, that, and the other thing, and they should change the playoff format and get rid of the divisions. Listen, it just wasn't our year.
Yeah.
Well, I do think that they should change that draft order. I didn't know that. I misspoke. I misspoke yesterday with Dale. I thought that the bottom 12 teams were the playoff teams, regardless of record.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
And evidently that's not the case. The Patriots are slotted in at 24 behind at least four playoff teams, San Diego, Minnesota,
and
Arizona, and Philadelphia.
I thought for sure that it also fluctuated as the playoffs went on, so that the conference champions were 29-30. And then the Super Bowl participants were 31-32, the winner being 32. I thought it had a little bit of fluidity to it, but
just the Super Bowl teams. Right. That, as far as I know, has been the same. Like, for example, last year, if the Patriots had lost their first playoff game to Jacksonville, they would have picked 30th. 31-32 would have been the two Super Bowl teams, and then they would have been 16-0. They would have been 30.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, I really can't. I mean, you know. As bummed as I was at the beginning about Brady going down, I'm going to stop short and say it was a fun season, but it was entertaining. They were in it, you know, right up until the last week.
Hey, look, Christian, if we had told you in week two that this team was going to end up 11-5, would you have taken that?
No, I was with everybody else. Without Brady, it would have been 8-8, 7-9.
No, but yeah, you would have taken 11-5.
You would have taken that.
11-5, absolutely.
Yeah. Because 11-5 gets you in the playoffs.
I would have taken 11-5.
You know,
sure.
That's what I said.
I didn't think they would be as good. I think that most people felt they would still win the division, and I felt they would probably still win the division. But I didn't think it would win the division with an 11-5 record. I thought it would be closer to 9-7.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere in that area. Well, 10-6.
The Jets' downfall was 0-4 on the West Coast. You know,
absolutely.
How do you lose to those teams 0-4?
Not just that, but they were bad in December. They got worse as the season went on. New England got better as the season went on. You know, they made their adjustments. They filled in where guys went down. The Jets didn't do that. The Jets faltered all the stretch. You wouldn't have wanted to go in the playoffs with that team.
It was the West Coast that killed you, no question. San Francisco and Seattle games, Oakland, those are just terrible.
And you know, you look at that, and how much of that is game planning and coaching? I mean, you know.
Hey. Another team
in preparation, you know, getting your team in the right mindset to play a West Coast game.
The other team in the division, New England, had to do the same thing. They went 3-1.
Right.
Yeah, I think a lot of it. I think as bad as Favre played, you know, and Paul, what you said about, you know, the Jets catering to him and his needs and them passing the ball. Well, then, to me, that brings it back to coaching.
I agree.
If you're the coach of the team, you got to handle on your team. You're giving your chance. We all know this. You know, one-on-one, you got to give your team the best chance to win, whatever it is, week in and week out. So if you got to run the ball 40 times and pass it 10, you do that. If you got to pass it 30 times around, you do that. But he didn't, you know, he Mangini, I think, is totally to blame the whole thing, and it couldn't have happened to a better guy.
Christian, how do you feel now that the season's over?
Like I said, I saw steady improvement, but, you know, hey, we're not in it. I'm frustrated, and so too. You know, I mean, this is December. And we're already talking about draft and off season. You know
Welcome
I mean?
To the rest of the 16 teams.
Right. But, I mean, this offseason, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to see what they're going to do in the draft.
It'll go by fast, Christian. It really will.
Yeah, I think it will. I think it will. So, good riddance 08. Hopefully a better 09.
All right.
I was telling the guys yesterday, we had two in one calendar year, we had two seasons come to an end. It's been an up and down ride.
It's been a tough 08. I really can't wait for 09. I really can't wait to see how this team turns it around. And I think, you know, last year was just such a stunner when everything that happened, and then boom, Brady gets hurt. And now it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back.
I'm telling you right now, Patriots win the Super Bowl next year.
Fred. I'm with you.
Right now.
That extends a streak to
20 years in a row?
No, I know they will. I am so certain of it because the guys that remain on this roster now, if they didn't before, they now understand what you can accomplish in this system. I absolutely, they're going all the way. So I am excited about 09.
Okay.
We're excited too.
I think we're all excited about 09, Fred. I think it's a pretty good team.
All right. Thanks, Christian. Thanks for calling in.
Happy New Year to you, Christian.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Like the Patriots? Like winning stuff? Join the VXP program from Verizon. The same company that always delivers the Patriots to you through RazorShop Fios, blazing fast internet, and in-depth mobile content is now delivering you to the Patriots. I'm talking about field passes, stadium tours, luxury boxes. Want to watch a game from the press box? How about the sideline? Don't like the sound of your own voice? Have a Patriots player leave your outgoing voicemail. That's the level of access I'm talking about here, folks, and it's all a part of the program. So how do you become a VXP? It's simple. Just text VXP Play to 51500 or go to v-xp.com for an entry form. For a chance to win, just answer some Pat's trivia. That's it. There's a new prize every day through December 28th. Text VXP Play to 51500 or register at v-xp.com. The VXP program from Verizon. Victory comes to those who play. No purchase necessary. Void in Florida. Promotion ends 12/28/08. Play daily from noon to 8 p.m. Eastern. Must be 18. Official rules at v-xp.com.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
So, Sarah, how's your holiday shopping coming along? I don't know about you, but I haven't even started.
Holiday shopping? I took care of that last week. Went to Patriot Place in Foxborough.
I've heard of Patriot Place. There's a ton of stores, restaurants, a movie theater. But you got all of your shopping done at one place?
Yep. Took care of the kids' list at Hollister and Life is Good. Greg's going to be psyched with the gear I got at Bass Pro, Circuit City, and the Patriots Pro Shop. Bought my mom some really great stuff at Christmas Tree Shops. And I had to treat myself at Victoria's Secret. Oh, and I stopped in for a facial and a massage at Green Tangerine Salon.
So shopping and relaxing? Now you're talking. It looks like my holiday shopping might just be at Patriot Place.
I told you, the holiday shopping for them and a little something for me.
Visit patriot-place.com for Santa's schedule, holiday hours, events, and more. Parking is free with convenient valet and shuttle service available daily. Donate a new or gently used coat to make a child's holiday warmer at any store. Proceeds benefit Cradles to Crayons. At Patriot Place, everyone wins. Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
This offense has completely turned the corner to me. Against an average defense, they're going to put points on the board. And I think you have a better chance of doing that in Miami than you do in the Meadowlands.
I just want to have another chance
January.
To beat the Jets. Oh, God.
But they have another chance to beat you.
So what? Don't
see,
be
it's
a
I'm not afraid of that. Unbelievable.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right. Back here in PFW in Progress. Mark writes in, just two times a week is fine. Patriots Radio, that's it. I was typing this Friday, listening to the repeat, and the caller mentioned that I was thinking. The audience are Patriots fans. I personally loathe the Sox. I could care less about the Celtics or Bruins. Have PFW in Progress, then do that other stuff somewhere else. So that is what we're going to do. 2 days a week, Thursday and Tuesdays, 12 to 2 every week.
Thursdays and Tuesdays.
Yeah, we'll start the end of the week, and then we'll continue at the beginning of the
right.
week.
Right. Hey, as long as you get it there. So that's what we'll be doing, Tuesdays and Thursdays every week, 12 to 2. And on the phone right now is Mike from San Francisco. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, I can't believe I'm talking to Fred Kershawitz.
Wait a minute.
Believe it, buddy.
Is this Mike Singletary?
Yeah, no.
Mike from San Francisco?
Can't do it.
No.
Can't win with him. Can't coach him.
I was a little surprised that they signed a five-year deal with him, and I would imagine there's an out after a year or so. For the 49ers.
Well, fans are extremely happy with this guy so far.
Anyway, what do you got for
us,
Mike?
Do you know what their record ended up being?
What?
San Francisco?
What?
7-9.
7-9?
Yeah.
That's not a bad record.
I said
for that
they
team
weren't
that
bad.
Not bad with that team. That's for sure.
What do you say, Mike?
Hey, well, the Niners won four of their last five, and the people are ecstatic. It's a far cry from the glory days of the 80s, but the way they've been going the last couple of years, they're optimistic now.
Yep.
But anyway, I'm very pleased with the Patriots this year. When they won their 10th game, they officially exceeded my expectations. Back in that first game, I thought I might even cancel my satellite football package. But within a few days, I was convincing myself that, well, you know, if they really stuck with it, they could maybe win 9 games. And so in the end here with 11, I'm definitely playing with the house's money. I think there's lots of reason for optimism for next year.
There is. And, you know, if nothing else, this should serve as reinforcement that you should trust in what Bill and his staff does as far as planning for the future. Because, look.
I think overall, no matter what the situation is, if you're a fan of the team, you're always a fan, period.
And
no.
I had trust in that from the start.
Unless it's the Bengals where they show that they don't want to win.
My point is.
You don't have a point.
Why don't you let him make a point?
All right,
go ahead. He very rarely does.
All right.
My point is everyone was afraid of the day that, you know, Tom Brady wouldn't be with the team anymore. We got a little glimpse of that this year. He wasn't available for pretty much the whole season. But life went on, and they won 11 games, you know. And then they also drafted a kid in the third round who has shown pretty good potential too. So things are never going to be as bad as they seem. Things aren't always as great as they seem, but they're never going to be as bad as they seem.
Well, also
team.
Speaking to that, when Brady went out, there was a lot of people around the country saying, oh, well, now Belichick has to prove he can do it without Brady. And, of course, no one on this show was saying that. But here at the end of the season, we see once again, you know, there's another feather in the cap of the greatest coach of our time.
Well, exactly. That's my point. If anyone had any doubts before, it should be reinforced after this season.
But I do feel like he did a lot of that because he really hadn't had a whole lot of success in the 7 seasons that he had without Brady. And this season, I think, is a successful season without Brady. And not only it'd be one thing to say, okay, well, Brady, he had another quarterback. But not only he didn't have Brady, he had completely no plan for this. I mean, it wasn't like you knew that Brady was going to go down 7 minutes into the season and you go to the backup. It's one thing if Brady retires and then you have the whole offseason
exactly.
and you're preparing
right. so,
to have life with Matt Cassel as your starter.
Exactly.
This
right.
was the worst possible way.
He had,
yes.
The quarterback that he picked. I
right.
mean, he,
whatever whatever situation, this was the worst possible way you could have a season without Brady.
And not just that, but he did so, like you said, Paul, he didn't know what was going to happen. He also didn't know it was going to happen in a year when let's not forget, a lot of people were calling for Matt Cassel's head at the end of training camp. They thought he was going to be the odd man out in that 4-quarterback rotation.
Yep.
Bill saw something in him and said, nope, he's the guy.
Yep.
And it turned out to be a stroke of brilliance again.
Yep.
So that was my point.
And
yeah,
I agree with it.
Bill
Thank
was
you.
What I was saying at the end of training camp. I was going, none of these quarterbacks really earned their way onto the team.
Right.
But the coaching staff is going to take a look at all the different factors and figure it out and make a good choice.
And look, as lucky as, you know, they probably were in drafting Tom Brady and having him turn out the way he was.
Sure.
You know, Dick Rabine, you know, said he saw him, and that's why they drafted him in the sixth round. Yet, once he got here, he was quickly elevated to the number two. Mm-hmm. I mean, they saw in him, and he showed, you know, it wasn't like, you know, they drafted him late and they forgot about him. Mm-hmm. They quickly saw in him
what
he could be.
1 year, he went from four to two.
Right. So they do know what they're looking at. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is there any doubt why Josh McDaniels is a hot commodity right now?
I think he's
very good quarterbacks here.
I want to keep him badly. I really think he was instrumental in the success they had this year.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah, I agree with that too.
I really want to keep McDaniels. Yep.
I think it'll be hard to do that this year, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I think he could come back just like last year and say,
hey,
you know what?
It depends what he wants, yeah.
Yeah.
I think if he wants to go, then I think it's going to be impossible to keep him.
Right.
But last year, he certainly had people interested in him, and he wasn't interested in leaving. So I don't know what would have, for sure that had changed over the course of a year.
He kind of said he wasn't ready last year. And, you know, maybe he still feels he's not ready. But if he does, like you said, if he does, there are options out there now. And if he doesn't, great, we'll welcome him
back. I'm sure he could get himself a plane ticket right now and get a job with the Raiders tomorrow. I'm sure they would.
If I were him, I wouldn't go there.
No, I wouldn't either.
No, don't go there.
But I'm sure,
there.
If he wants to go somewhere like that, they'll hire him in a second.
I wouldn't go there, though.
I think he might have a chance for Cleveland.
He could.
And
he's
I think that
there.
Would be a lot make a lot of sense for him.
But I want him to stay. So, anyway. All right. Thanks, Michael.
All righty.
Michael from San Francisco calling in.
Thanks,
Ken
Michael.
In Florida writes in, the thing that really sucked about Sunday is that we'll have to listen to Joey Porter for a while longer.
1 week.
One more week.
Just
one more week.
That's I think they're going down.
Baltimore's going to take it to them.
It's too bad that Ray Lewis and Joey Porter can't be on the field at the same time.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
That would be a good matchup. But you know what, Fred? They'll be on
warming
up together
at the same time.
So they'll be on
point.
The field at the same time.
Sawyer from Waterloo writes in, effing Jets. I know this won't be read on the air. I just did. But it helps to get that off my chest.
Did he write effing or did he write the whole
thing?
Well,
he wrote the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
I hope Brett Favre gets eaten by a tiger shark in Hawaii. So.
Look, I know. Favre does suck. I've said that for the last couple of years now. But let's not blame this whole thing on him. The Pats said it themselves. They put themselves in the situation that they were in. Can't go blaming the Jets for everything, even though I know you like to do that, Fred.
I blame them for most of the ills in the world.
Do you blame them for global warming, too?
I do. Darfur. pretty much everything, yeah. The stuff that's going on in the Gaza Strip right now. You know, everything. Marcos from Argentina says he's demolished. He can't believe we're out of the playoffs. However, there's still a couple things I'd like to share with you. One, although I don't think the Jets threw the game, I do believe that the geniuses at the league could have done something to keep the integrity of the game intact.
It was intact.
What?
Let's
let him finish. 5 minutes into the second quarter, Baltimore already had a big lead, and the Jets knew they weren't playing for anything. Wouldn't it have been better to keep Miami in the Jets at one and move the Pats to the 4-15 game?
It's not true. The Jets, if they had won, would have been in the playoffs.
If Baltimore had lost.
If Baltimore had lost, the Jets would have been in the
right,
playoffs.
Right, but he's saying that Baltimore had a big lead already, and they knew in like the second quarter that they didn't have a chance.
I don't think it was that fast, first of all, because Baltimore was losing for the good portion of our bus ride.
I think it by halftime you knew.
By halftime it was over, but I think that was kind of late in the second quarter. But regardless, first of all,
I'm not buying that.
I watched the highlights
of
the game, and I've talked to a lot of people, and no one tells me that the Jets looked one bit like they didn't play hard.
No, the only one that screwed up was Brett Favre.
The Jets were trying to win it at the end.
Exactly.
They didn't look like Jacksonville. They were doing everything they could to score from their own 2-yard line at the end of the game.
They certainly didn't look like Jacksonville, who laid down the last month of the season.
Right.
They were playing to win.
I think this is very predictable. This happened before the game, so I was sure it was going to happen after the game. What do they want to do? Do they want the Jets to play on Saturday to ensure that they played hard? I mean, at some point, the Jets played to win. The Jets and Giants, maybe they could have moved the Giants game to 4 o'clock instead and had the Jets play at 1. But the Jets and Giants can't play at the same time. No matter if they're home, away, or indifferent, they can't play at the same time. So one of them had to be moved, either the Giants or the Jets. They moved the Jets. They thought that was a better game.
Right.
By the way, I think that was the right decision.
Yeah.
That was a much bigger game for the, four o'clock hour.
I think once they moved Baltimore to four, I think that any suspicion, whatever.
Yeah, any appearance of impropriety is out the window when they moved the other game that had playoff implications for the Jets.
Right.
The Jets had the same chance to make the playoffs going into Sunday as the Patriots did.
Right.
They needed to win, and they needed one of two teams to lose.
Right.
Neither one lost for the Jets, and neither one lost for the Patriots.
The second thing Marcos from Argentina says is Favre to the Pro Bowl. Now, really, that guy's career is over. I hope we have all seen his last game. As sad as I am right now,
amen,
I am glad to see the fraud go down as the loser he is.
Amen.
Moving forward, do we draft with the 20th pick? No, it is the 24th
pick.
Here's another wish list item for me to add, Fred, for 2009. Let's hope that Favre gets this MRI on his shoulder. It shows something bad, and he has to bow out of the Pro Bowl, and they call Matt Castle and say, come to Hawaii.
That would be justice.
How it should have been voted in the first place.
That's right.
But let's hope it happens that way. And
I got to guess they're going to be calling Phillip Rivers first, no?
That's true.
With a franchise record.
But
they'll go to the Super Bowl
and he won't want to go.
Maybe they will.
He might not want to go.
My wish is that they call Castle. But either way, I would certainly wish
they call Castle. I think that's the biggest thing, the biggest disappointment for me not making the playoffs is not getting the ability to see him play in the playoffs.
And that's the thing. You know, I'm sorry for myself. The biggest thing, I'm sorry for the players because I would have at least liked them to have said, hey, we made the playoffs this year.
Right.
I would have liked to have
lost on their own terms.
Yeah, I would have liked them
or
to be able
all the
to
way
say
and done
that
it on their own terms.
Yeah, to be
Either
able
way.
To say that because, you know,
right.
10 years from now, you know, right now we all know the intricacies of this season and what happened and all that. But 10 years from now, the Patriots are just another team that went to the Super Bowl and didn't make the playoffs the next year.
Hey,
that's too bad.
If it's any other consolation, somebody brought this up yesterday to Bill in the press conference. Last time in the Belichick era, the Patriots didn't make the playoffs. The following 2 years,
back
they won the
back.
Super Bowl. So let's just keep that little tucked away in the back of your mind.
They're going next year, believe me. C-Cops from Columbia, Missouri, says, I, like the rest of Patriots Nation, look to you, Fred, for guidance and sage-like wisdom in these dark times for us. Thankfully, 2008 is over. Please tell us 2009 will be better. And Happy New Year. Favre sucks.
Fred's already predicted the Super Bowl.
I am more certain.
2009 will be better.
I am more certain about 2009 than I've been about any season
before. Where's 44? Is that Miami?
Miami, I believe. The Pro Bowl thing that they're doing next year?
Yeah, 2010.
What?
They're going to play the Pro Bowl the week before the Super Bowl in Miami.
In the city of the
No More Hawaii.
Super Bowl.
What?
It's a one-year trial. See how it works.
In Miami and before the Super Bowl?
The week before
the
Super Bowl.
So obviously,
whoever's
in the Super Bowl is not going to play in it.
Right.
I don't like playing tackle football for fun. You just can't do it.
I don't think it's in Hawaii.
I think it's a dumb idea.
I always love the novelty of it being in Hawaii.
Well, that's good for the players and their families, too. I mean, Miami's not bad. But
they're probably not going to like that too much because, you know, they're cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they get a free trip to Hawaii for their families is going to be something that they lose now.
Right. I just don't like tackle football for fun. It just doesn't make sense. I think
the game should be ended. But
yeah, you know, I really do. Do something else.
Name a team and don't play a game.
Yeah, send them out. Do stuff with them. Whatever. You know, skills contests.
I don't like it.
As long as it's not beach volleyball or flag football.
Have you ever watched it?
The Pro Bowl?
Yeah.
I used to watch it religiously.
But, like, at what age did you stop when you realized that, wow, this is really not good football?
In my 20s.
About the same time I realized there was no Santa. Because they're both
There's no
fake.
Santa?
They're both fake.
No, I was, like, right after college, probably.
Oh, wow. You really stuck with it.
College was Santa for you?
No.
Yes, Fred. He's college.
I don't know why you keep saying this stuff. What are you talking about?
If Andy was here, he'd say, well, he still sits on men's laps. So I didn't say that, Andy.
No, you didn't say that.
That was Andy.
No, that was all Andy. Way to lubricants.
I really hate you guys.
Let's see. Tammy in New York writes in, to say I am disappointed with the New York Brets would be an understatement. Why did we think we could ever trust the Jets or Brett Favre to do anything right? Three interceptions, unbelievable. I am still very proud of the way the Patriots played this season. I think it could have been better. The Colts in the second Jets game come to mind. Overall, a good season, and I really wish Castle all the best because I think that's the last Patriots fans will see of him, at least on our sidelines. I saw a story online that disturbed me. She talked about the Tom Curran thing. I hope and pray it's not true. I don't think I can handle any more disappointments. And lastly, I would like to tell you how much I enjoy you guys, and I would listen to you guys talk about anything, anytime. Oh, by the way, I finally saw Andy Hart on the PFW TV show last week, and I have to say that he's not bad looking, at least for a white guy. It's nice to be able to, it's nice to be able to put a face to the voices that keep me entertained. That's Tammy in New York.
Tammy needs a new set of glasses, obviously.
Maybe she likes big heads.
Maybe that's it.
Easy.
Okay. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Daryl writes in. He says, okay, I'm pissed off. Tell me something, please. How did the NFL work out the playoff berth? I just don't understand how two teams from the AFC South are in the playoffs, two teams from the AFC North are in the playoffs, and only one team from the AFC East and AFC West are in the playoffs. That just doesn't seem fair. It's a conspiracy. Well,
if it happened to another team, it would be, you wouldn't even be talking about it right now.
First of all,
it's fair. It's always been that way.
The two teams from the AFC South are Tennessee at 13-3 and Indianapolis at 12-4.
Yeah,
they had better records than the Patriots.
The only
two teams in the AFC North
is
Pittsburgh, who had a better record than the Patriots,
right,
and Baltimore, who beat the Patriots on a tiebreaker.
Yeah. The only team here that really, it's San Diego with the 8-8. If it weren't for that.
And I think that Seymour's answer to that is really poignant.
The
best
answer I've heard on that.
They lost 30-10.
Yeah. The teams at the top who
and
were
San
in
Diego,
it, they all lost.
By the way, was playing terrible football
at that
time.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's not even like you can say, well, the Patriots didn't have it going yet.
Right.
San Diego was playing every bit as badly as the Patriots were.
And it's, you know, with what San Diego happened to them early in the season with the Hockley call and everything, it's kind of justice that they did make it after all.
I mean, they probably should be 10-6.
They lost a couple of games that they shouldn't have won.
Those first two games, I mean, it's amazing to me that they lost them both.
I still say it's the best in-season turnaround I've ever seen.
San Diego?
Yeah.
It might be.
Yeah.
It might be.
On the phone is Brian from Brighton. Brian, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Great.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Fred, there is latency on the internet.
I knew that. Yeah.
So I wanted to, well, first of all, it was a great season. I was excited the whole time. I mean, as disappointing as the Jets loss was, I mean, I was glued to the TV all day on Sunday. I mean, just loving the NFL at the time.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, one thing I wanted to bring up real quick, and it's too bad Andy's not there because I did want to bring up something with Andy. I don't know if you guys have seen this, you know, the super ad that the NFL's doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize why do all the quarterbacks have tongue rings?
Huh?
Delhomme has one, and I think Kurt Warner had one as well.
Tongue rings?
Yeah.
Really?
Are you sure about that?
I'm not positive
about Delhomme, but Kurt Warner, I wasn't positive about. You have to watch the ad. You just see him talking.
I would be shocked if Kurt Warner has one.
I was too, to be honest with you. And Eric, actually, I wanted to say, you know, you've done a great job with Rook. I mean, that show really improved with you on there.
Oh, thank you, Brian.
And where's the punchline?
No punchline.
Okay.
Lying your ass.
Since Brian was disappointed that Andy wasn't here, I'll play the role of Andy and saying, I just automatically assumed when you were talking about guys with tongue rings and then you brought up Eric, I thought that's where we were going.
I resisted the temptation.
I did it for you.
Well, thank you, Brian, for that compliment.
Now, I wanted
thank
to
you,
bring
Paul,
up
for
one
nothing.
Thing.
You know, see now.
Go on.
No,
go ahead.
That was a drop-in.
It's a drop-in.
Well, one thing I'm kind of disappointed with this season is Randy Moss. And I mean, he's been a trooper, but again, that was a terrible drop for that touchdown.
Well, I think he had a few terrible drops, and I think for him, this was a down year, even though he had 1,000 yards nine touchdowns?
Yeah, I agree that he was disappointing. I don't think he played as well as he could have. I'm going to give him a pass for this one play on Sunday.
Yeah.
And in a time when the team really could have crumbled morale-wise, he stepped up as a leader on the team. But with that said, I just think that needs to be brought up because
he dropped a lot of passes. I just don't think Sundays was one of them. Even though he probably had both hands on it or whatever, I just think that wind was amazing.
Yeah, I think that overall his season this year wasn't up to his standards, I'm sure.
Certainly wasn't
but
up
without
to last
him
year.
out no. there, His presence alone helped Matt Castle.
Helped
Wes Welker. Helped the running.
Kevin Falk and all those other guys that made so many plays. It's hard to do that. It's hard to do that without Randy Moss on the field.
I agree. I just, like I said, I'm a little disappointed. I don't think it was terrible. I just think that there were a bunch of really big drops by Moss, and that's something that we expect him to do is make those catches when it touches his hand.
Yeah, and especially after last season where his hands were like glue. He caught everything with two or three guys on him most of the time.
Exactly. I remember one catch he made that it actually was out of bounds, but I couldn't even believe he got one of those feet in and caught the ball.
He's special.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
And that's not to say he didn't make any plays this year, because look, they wouldn't have been in overtime against the Jets if he didn't make that ridiculous catch.
Right.
That's true.
He did have his moments too. It just wasn't compared to last year. It would have been hard to top last year anyway.
But I
agree. He did drop off a little bit, and it was evident in some of those long bombs where, you know, he just didn't.
At the beginning of the season, you can't overthrow me. Well, Castle kind of overthrew him a couple times.
You're right.
So, but with that said, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the guy. I think it's great on the team. It's just been a great season. So, just wanted to call in, and I personally think, Fred, it's better to do it twice a week. I mean, in the off season.
Okay.
Just enough. I love it. You guys are great. I still owe you guys lunch. I've been meaning to do it for a long time. I'll have to set that up. Finally, you guys aren't getting like $300 lunches anymore.
No. We don't do that.
Well, no, it's not you guys who do it. It's the other guy. It's what you're given.
Right. Well, the economy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, Brian. Brian from Brighton. Okay.
All right, Brian. Thanks, Brian.
Easy. It's my old haunting grounds, Brighton. Used to live there.
One of many of your old
1288
haunting grounds.
Com-app.
You've lived all over the place, Fred.
I have. Lived all over.
You're a bon vivant.
He's lived.
Man of the world.
Hey, what do you think about the report out there that Cowher is talking to the Jets, Bill Cowher?
I think that it makes sense, but like I said earlier, if Bill Cowher is taking over in
Tannenbaum
New York,
has to go.
Right.
Tannenbaum's out.
Right. See you later.
So, you know, as Florio wrote, look for some Tannenbaum. Hey, Woody,
actually,
I don't think Cowher's a good fit.
You keep Tannenbaum. I'll tell you why. Because when Cowher gets upset and all that spit comes out of his mouth, someone's got to wipe it up. So that'd be the perfect job for Tannenbaum.
I think
I don't know
Cowher
what Woody Johnson is thinking.
Cowher and Schottenheimer, I think, are very interesting candidates for the Jets.
They are, but like you said earlier, Fred, why not just clean house? Why are you futzing around with?
Oh, I don't understand why Tannenbaum's still there.
Yeah,
exactly.
If you're going to clean house, clean house.
Nothing will compare to the ineptitude of the Detroit Lions, who
fired
the coach predictably after an 0-16 season, but somehow saw fit to name an interim general manager who was on the job for all of 8 weeks or 10 weeks, in Martin Mayhew. Now, ostensibly, he's the one that's going to make the choice of who your next coach is. And if that wasn't bad enough, they made the decision to retain three or four of their assistant coaches.
Right.
What coach is going to want to go there to –
Well, if I'm a coach, I'm going to go there and say, I'm not going to come here unless I get to decide
course,
who my staff is.
Of course.
I think they screwed up royally yet again.
It also gives you – makes you more happy about – situation
here.
In
here.
Foxborough,
sure. Absolutely.
Because we have a solid front office, owner, coach, and you need that.
Report that I saw was that the Lions have gotten permission from the Cowboys to talk with Jason Garrett.
And they intended, I don't know if it's still going on, but I guess last night Sal Pal was saying that the the Lions intended to seek permission from the Patriots. For McDaniels as well. So I don't know if that has come to fruition. Maybe they asked.
Offensive coordinator route.
Maybe they asked, and McDaniels said, yeah, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
I think Cleveland makes a lot of sense with Josh.
It sure does.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of the name of it. What's the name of the high school? That
McKinley Canton.
Is he still there?
Oh, well, that's where he played. His father moved over to Massillon.
Is he still there?
Yeah.
Still coaching?
Yep.
Let's see. Artie from New Hampshire writes in, I hope you enjoyed your holidays. As sad as I am that the Pats didn't make the postseason this year, I'm proud of their accomplishments. I think Castle did a fantastic job. I wish him well next season. I am not smart enough to figure out scenarios or even speculate about what is going to happen with his contract for next year, but I wish him nothing but the best in his endeavors.
He'll do all right.
Now, on to dreaming. the draft. I know that there are a ton of different possibilities with trades and the like, but as it stands right now, 12-29-08, actually it's 12-30, what do the Pats have for picks this year? Where are they ranked? Where is the best place to look at potential mock drafts? Any websites you can suggest would be most appreciated.
A little early for the mock draft talk, but in the first round, I have the list here somewhere.
The Patriots?
Yeah, they're at 24. 24.
Yeah.
I don't have any of the other rounds, though.
All I have is the
first round right now.
That won't be out for a little while.
Yeah.
Because they need to have all the
Patriots
other
rounds. Patriots are drafted 24th in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
24th in the first round. So, and they have, don't they have somebody's second round pick this year?
I believe they do. They have, either an extra second or an extra.
The Chargers, I think.
They have the Chargers second round
Chargers,
this year.
Chargers, okay.
Yeah. And they wouldn't, would they get a, no, they wouldn't get any compensatory picks.
Compensatory?
Yeah.
Compensatory?
Yeah.
Not for for Castle, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Not until next year?
No.
Yeah. Or even for losing Samuel.
For losing Samuel, they'll get one.
Oh, they
they'll get a third rounder almost, I can guarantee, because
okay.
he played every game,
but
well, almost
they,
every
but
game.
But doesn't that get offset when you pick up somebody else's?
Well, I don't. Who do they lose?
Who
do they get, rather?
Victor Hobson.
No.
They didn't really get guys that
really
came in and played.
They didn't anybody that did anything. No.
That's true, that were free agents.
Fernando Sam Bryant,
Aiken,
Jason
Fernando
Webster.
Bryant, Aiken lasted
guess,
the longest.
It's a formula that's exactly how it's weighed. It's you compare and contrast what you got and lost, and it's based on playing time and whatnot, and I would think that Samuel's going to warrant you a third rounder.
So
you think,
nice.
Andy?
Andy's here.
Andy's here. Done with Ask PFW.
You had a female fan.
Nice.
Said like you weren't bad looking, quote, for a white guy.
Yeah.
Does that mean she's.
Well, maybe she just doesn't like white guys.
I don't know. I mean, I suppose we shouldn't make the assumption. God knows I've gotten myself in trouble with that in the past.
So Andy's here. WebRadioPatriots.com. Stephen from Oregon's calling in. Stephen, how you doing?
Good to see you're on your A game there, Fred.
Always.
Compensatory.
Compensatory.
All right, well, I'm just miserable and depressed, and I feel like Brett Favre came in my living room and kicked me in the stomach.
Well, you kind of did to all of us. So.
All the Jets fans look like that on Sunday, too, huh? Every time they would show the crowd, they all looked like someone called and said that. They all looked like they were throwing up.
Well, I bet you they can't wait to run him out of town at this point.
Yeah, my wife was watching the game with me, and she goes, I don't know if I can take this anymore. He's a horrible quarterback.
Yeah, I've been saying it for a while now.
He's the worst Hall of Fame quarterback ever.
He better not
play. What did he end up with? 22 touchdowns, 22 interceptions, and he's going
something
to the Pro Bowl?
Like that, yeah.
Something
ridiculous or whatever. She goes, I could do better than that. She goes, but I have to clip my nails first.
maybe he should clip his.
Yeah. I'm saying he doesn't play in the Pro Bowl, Stephen. I'm saying he backs out.
Probably not.
Oh, yeah, they're already laying the foundation for that.
Yeah,
the MRI.
That's what I said earlier.
Hey, and so I would love Castle it. Can get
that's
there.
That's exactly what
that's
I said
what
earlier.
That's what Eric's looking for.
Although he might not be next.
Well, you got to. That's what Paul said. You got to think Rivers is next.
The guy
set a franchise record
issues.
For touchdowns.
Are you guys going to be on the air 3 days a week, though, or what's going on with that?
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
But not this Thursday.
No, but not this. Yeah, but not this Thursday.
Oh, okay. So is today your only day then?
That's
last show
week,
of the
right.
year.
Nothing gets
last
by
show
you,
of the
Steve.
Year.
Yep.
Okay, Fred, make sure you get enough time in for picks, okay?
For picks?
Yeah.
Well, that's true. We should pick
the
wild
games.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't really.
Give you my picks right now. All the road teams except Indianapolis.
Oh, by the way, who won the picks contest this year?
Fred.
Hey, all right.
Fred's the big winner.
I'm the winner.
I am the winner.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I can tell you with certainty that Fred won both the overall and the spread.
And I feel pretty
Fred,
good saying
Fred
I came
just
in last.
Over everybody.
No, you came in second in the overall. You
no,
came
in
last
one.
In the spread.
That's where the men.
Well, did I make it over 500 in the spread, Paul?
I don't know.
Oh, what do you know?
All right.
You guys have a great year, and thanks for the great show, and we'll talk to you again.
All right, Stephen.
Happy
New
Year.
Happy
New Year
to you
happy
and year. All of yours.
I hope he meant one of those, like, literal talk to you next years and not. Next year is the next football season.
Oh,
we'll
no,
be
I
here all the offseason.
I think,
Steve.
He,
no, I think
doing,
he meant
yeah.
the literal.
Okay.
Now,
he was doing the literal.
We haven't talked at all about the Cowboys. The and by the way,
I'm
Big
still
D,
standing by the fact that Wade Phillips is not going to be the coach.
Well,
next
Big
year.
D, by the way, stands for diva. I mean, that's what it's the Dallas Divas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, We all now the report is that Tony Romo collapsed in the shower. I can just picture
it. I love
it.
The way he says that.
I can say, you know, the nude figure of Tony Romo slumped against the cold tile.
Leave Eric out of it.
You know, Jason Witten and T.O. help him to his feet.
You're getting unbearable, Paul.
You know, wrap him in a warm towel. It's just ridiculous.
But I liked how it said like it was startling or something to his teammates. Well, no crap. A guy collapses next to you in the shower. I think you'd be startled.
Right.
Brady James beat up a fan outside.
Yeah.
What? That was an interesting story.
A guy had one of those, what do they call them, that you hang over your shoulders.
Oh, sandwich boards?
Yeah.
Sandwich board?
And he ripped it off the guy's chest because it said, what did it? No, you. Cowboys have no heart, and Wade something in the back.
Yeah.
And Brady James got out and ripped it off him, but in the process kind of roughed him up a little, broke his glasses. The guy met with the team, isn't going to press charges, doesn't.
Well, I guess Brady went in.
I guess the guy kind of said something like, if you'd showed that heart on the field, maybe we would have won.
Right, he did. And I guess Brady
James
went in.
You got to give it to Cowboys fans. They're good. You
know, oh, yeah, it's great.
Got like a brand new pair of Oakley sunglasses, went out, gave them to him,
which
apologized.
Which is kind of funny. Like, what if they were prescriptions? Like,
well, I don't, yeah. I don't
if
know.
They were his glasses, nice Oakleys do him no good if he can't see.
Right.
Yeah, what if the glasses had actually done like some damage to the guy's eyes or something?
But you know? Clearly the guy's a Cowboys fan, doesn't want to create
trouble.
What a mess that team is from the owner on down. I mean, here's a guy.
From the top.
He's had more faceless than Joan Rivers. And by the way, he's starting to look like her.
He's clearly Fred worked on his material last night.
He did.
Dallas
did some show prep,
Cowboys.
Huh?
He started
sounds like he went to bed early.
Unbelievable what's going on over there.
It starts from the top. You're right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but you can't change it. And unfortunately, like unlike Oakland, where he's going to die at some point, I mean, Jerry Jones isn't that old. He's there.
I guarantee you, if he keeps Wade Phillips, Jones is going to be coaching that team from behind the scenes.
I said this to somebody in Buffalo the other day. Dallas is becoming Oakland. They're becoming the Raiders. They got an owner who's out of control, making decisions, pulling strings. But they have divas on their team.
The Raiders with talent.
They're the Raiders. They're a little bit better than the Raiders. But that's what they're becoming.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Unbelievable.
It's awful to witness.
Did you hear Jerry Jones' comment, too? He said, I fired a coach once after 2 years in Chan Gailey, and I've regretted it ever since. That's the guy you regretted firing?
Yeah.
You ran Jimmy Johnson out of town?
Seriously. The guy
and you made life, I mean, say what you want about Bill Parcells, but you made life so difficult for Parcells that he left, and you regret Chan Gailey?
Oh, I know. Yeah. That's
kind of like Bill's Robbie Gould regret.
That's Fred's.
No, it's Bill's.
No, it's Bill's.
He said one of his biggest
regrets. I'm kidding.
I gave them the info, and they didn't listen to me. You know, I gave him the scouting report. No one listened.
They did all right with the guy that kept
him. Bertone is in Lake Worth, Florida.
And then the guy.
Bertone, how you doing?
Guy, yeah.
Hey, I'm good, fellas. Happy holidays to you.
You too.
You too.
Just got a couple of things. First thing, that 4th and 5 at the last game that Castle had us scrambled again.
The one where he ran for it?
Yeah. I don't think Brady gets that for us.
No.
No, he spun off that tackle and got the extra.
I think the three
yards.
Of us said exactly that. Yeah. There's a play that Brady can't make.
Right. Physically cannot make.
Although we did fake Urlacher out of his shoes.
Yeah, but that was...
I know the play. I remember that play. Yeah.
Yeah, the flag faked Urlacher out of his shoes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, you're right. That was a great play by Castle. We all said it at the time, too.
It might have been the play of the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because it kept that drive alive, and that was the clincher, really.
Other thing I got is, how do you guys feel about this? As a player, is it worse? I mean, is it a worse feeling to go 0-16 in the regular season or to go 18-0 and then lose the last one, the big one?
I'd rather do what the Patriots did.
0-16
is just, you know, you can't, you know, that's ridiculous.
And it's misery that lasts over months. It's building and building. They had a great season where they had an unbelievable time until the end. And I know the misery lasts afterwards, but you can still look back on the good. There's no good for Detroit to look back on.
I think you're probably, as a player, you're probably already past the 18-1.
Right. You have to be.
You're never going to get past 0-16. That's going to live on forever.
Yep. I'm not sure I agree with that. I think it would sit with me longer
if
I were a player on last year's team. Because
I look at it as another great team
because,
I was on.
Well, I know it's shameful to go 0-16. But to know that you were this close to being the only undefeated team other than those ridiculous Dolphins in the 70s.
No, I don't
know.
They both nag at
you. Well, I think of Mercury Morris when I think of them. So
they both nag at you because one is something I could have had, whereas 0-16, you didn't have anything.
Right. But I think that's the immediate, though.
The immediate disappointment. But I think 5 years later,
right?
That's just, you know, if you're Tom Brady, I was on a lot of great teams. I won 3 Super Bowls. I went 18-1.
Yeah,
it's just part of
16-0 in the regular season.
All the great teams that you were on. Yeah. 0-16, man, you can't wash that off.
Especially when they keep calling every time somebody else is close.
I, Richard
Wood.
Does anyone remember who Leroy Selman was?
Yeah.
Line,
I mean, he was a great linebacker.
Right.
But he was on one of the worst teams ever.
Yeah. Now, luckily for him, he was able to be there when they also went to the NFC Championship in Tampa.
I don't know. I still think I would feel worse going 18 wins and then losing the Super Bowl.
You just have to be different.
Yeah, he really is weird.
I'm not a player. I just a fan. Guys, I got to tell you, I'm still, I mean, hurting about that last game, you know, against the Giants.
There's no
doubt that our lives and everybody's lives would be different if they had won that game.
Sure.
It would.
But you don't know how you'd feel if you had gone 0-16 because it didn't happen.
But at least you could see that coming. All season, people were like, oh, wait, you know, you kind of knew the season was over for them. You kind of were expecting buildup for last year's team.
And that was the problem.
And that was an enormous letdown. At least the letdown with the Lions you could see coming.
Yeah.
We never saw it coming with the Pats last year. Don't tell me anybody predicted that the Giants were going to win that game.
I didn't see it coming, no.
I don't mean anyone in this room. I'm just saying anyone at all.
No. Even I predicted the Patriots would win.
Yeah. Fred went way out on the limb.
Yeah.
All right, fellas, that's all I got.
All right, Bertone, good topic. Good. I think, you know, everyone's opinion's a little different on that one.
Is that a record number of calls for a show? That's already 4 calls.
No.
Calls.
If you would come once in a while, you'd know that we get a lot of calls.
Sorry, I'm doing my job for you, Fred.
Oh, I apologize. What about the other days?
What? I didn't say anything. See?
I didn't look at you.
See? I stepped back. Yeah. You asked me.
WebRadio at Patriots.com is the email address. Fecto writes in, Al. He says, it's looking like it was a bad day for Italian coaches. Mangini gone, Marinelli gone, throwing Romeo, Crennel, and you're looking at a real ethnic trend. Didn't you just love how Brett Favre led those Miami defenders on each of his 3 interceptions? And for the second straight year, Favre's season ends with a mind-blowingly boneheaded pick to lose a game at home.
Good,
at least he'll always have that near-perfect Thursday night in Gillette when he knocked the Pats out of the postseason. I take it back. It does suck to go 11-5 and miss the playoffs. The only team that helped us the last month was Seattle. The Eagles drew a straight flush on the last day. Anyway, I love the game, of course. I thought we had a little trouble with the tackling techniques in the first half, but after we got ahead 10-0 against the win, I knew it was over. And speaking of the win, I'm convinced Steven Gostkowski's chip shot 26-yard attempt stuck inside the right pipe in the second period. How much can a ball bend in that short of space, even allowing for the win? The officials did not seem to react with confidence in making that call.
Well, it was a tough call.
I think they reacted with confidence. They waited, though. The guy stepped back and watched it come straight
down. Yeah,
he
wanted to make sure that... Right, because what would have happened if it had blown back in play and then blown through the uprights? It would have been good.
Right.
Al also mentions the Tom Curran report and wants to know, when do you think a decision regarding Castle will be made? Well, they don't have
to do it until
the franchise tag. And what's that?
February.
February 29th, I think.
It's earlier than that.
Before that.
It's like the 19th.
Free agency.
If you look at the Patriots
27.
Calendar app on Patriots.com, seriously, I have all those dates.
You
in
have
there.
The franchise date?
I
it works.
Do. I have all those dates.
I think it's
dates.
The 19th.
Oh, what was that, Eric? What's that now?
I have all those dates in there.
Careful.
So when free agency starts, franchise. Even when you have to, the waiver system, when that starts.
Combine is the 18th to the 24th of February, for those of you who are anxiously awaiting our analysis of draft picks to come.
Did you get my email? You guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
I need to know when you're leaving and when you're coming back.
Okay.
Kristen in Boston says, oi. That's all I can say. Oi. I can't say anything more. But she does. You cats are the best. I have listened to you for so long and just wanted to say thank you for a great season. I'm looking forward to listening to all your nonsensical talk postseason.
Oh, there's plenty of it to come.
Also, Andy, get your mind out of the gutter once in a while. It's good to breathe fresh air. Paul, I liked you better when you didn't agree so much with Fred. Fred, never leave the monkeys alone again. Eric, love your art. You are so not gay. Are you? And I hate the J-E-T-S, Jets,
Why don't
Jets,
you help
Jets,
me find out,
Brett Favre, and Mangenius.
Oh.
There's a little offer there from Eric to Kristen in Boston.
Also, Kristen, it's hard for Andy to have a breath of fresh air. You know, he has a lot of rumblings and stomach issues. There's really not much fresh air around
him. There's a lot going on down there.
Okay.
It seems like the fans are taking this worse than the players.
The players, we talked about that at the beginning. The players, I thought, were remarkably upbeat, and it was almost like
pride. They all had pride for what they achieved.
That was the word that came out to me, no question, pride.
Because every person feels very proud of
what they did.
That's why I think next year, Super Bowl, without a doubt.
They also don't think they felt like, I think, talking to a lot of them, I don't think they felt like they were going to get the help. I think they resigned themselves to the fact that all we can do is win our game and hope, and it's probably not going to happen.
And I think, you know, as much as last year, 16-0 was mentally taxing, I think this year with constant changes and assignment changes and new – I think it was mentally taxing this year too.
Yeah, and couple that with the short offseason, it doesn't feel like we've had a break for the past two seasons.
Right.
I kind of thought that was interesting that Bill brought that up because that's certainly how I've felt. I mean, just as a working here and reporting.
Yeah, we need a break.
And for him to take it the same way, I mean, it's no different. Like, his job is more important, obviously. But Eric and I prepare for the combine. And there's a difference doing it on February 10th, 8 days before we leave, and doing it a month and a half early. Mm-hmm. And Bill is in the same scenario. He just, you know, has to decide whether to spend $20 million on a guy, and I just write a story.
We have to tell you when we're leaving and when we're coming
back.
But it's the same thing. I mean,
where are you going to go to eat Friday night?
He clearly felt the wear and tear of the last couple seasons.
I thought that was interesting that he brought that up, too.
Yeah, and I'm sure the players have, too. I mean, they played a lot of extra football over the last
several
years.
I liked hearing him say that because it's true.
And they certainly did. Pride and or proud is a word that was used a lot in the last couple of days, and it's certainly applicable. But I think there were a few players who finally hit them yesterday. When it was time to leave, when they were cleaning it out, they finally started looking back and saying, boy, you know what, play here or play there. Guys in particular, like Mike Vrabel, I thought kind of was really at a loss for words. He started thinking about it when he was talking to the media. He was kind of like, oh, man. Ellis Hobbs was another one who kind of – but they quickly – once they stopped thinking about it and they started saying, well, you know what, we got to look at the silver lining. We got the offseason to rest. You know, we're relatively healthy. We got time to prepare. You know, I think they're looking more on the positive side than on the negative. So, and I think that's the right thing to do.
But what made it hard is how well they were playing too. Had they lost,
that's the other thing they said,
then okay, we had a tough season. Yeah. We did the best we could, but
they legitimately
felt like they were a dangerous team going into had they made the postseason.
I think they would have been.
Now,
a dangerous
I don't know whether they would have been or not because you can look at the schedule, you can look at the way things unfolded, and the offense led them to victory. Was that enough to cover up the defense and what that may have faced in the postseason and all that? But they felt dangerous, and that's all that mattered to them. So that's what makes it hard because I think they feel like they could have gone a couple games into the playoffs and challenged for a championship.
I think they would have been playing in Pittsburgh.
They certainly had a far better chance this month than they did when they were just bouncing back and forth, had different inconsistencies. At least they had sort of found an identity, and that was, well, we'll score some points early. Hopefully we'll get a couple early defensive stops, and that's how we have to win. Early on, even dating back to Seymour saying, well, we'll have to carry more of our share of the weight. You know, he really believed that at the time.
But they could never do it. They never did
it. So you were searching there until Castle kind of really blew up and became, well, he can lead this offense. You know, that's how we're going to be.
At 7-5, it was not a very formidable team.
Right.
And that's when all of a sudden, you know, they made they had a tough game in Seattle that they won.
That was a turning point.
And then that was the turning point. That was the last of the games against bad teams that could have gone either way. Then they played three teams that they were better than, and they beat them all, you know, somewhat soundly.
And it gave Castle something he really hadn't had, which was a chance to have a come-from-behind victory, which it came at the right time because, you know, at this time of year, especially heading into the playoffs, you need to play like that. And I think that gave him the confidence to play through the rest of December the way he did, and it gave the defense. I think it inspired the defense when they saw what was going on offense. You know, I think both sides help each other out in that regard.
I just want to point out that we said, you know, all the players talk about pride, and Bill was proud, and Fred said, "That's why I think they're going to the Super Bowl next year." Why do I think I could have said a monkey flew out of Bill Belichick's butt during the post game press conference, and Fred would have said, "That's why I think they're going to the Super Bowl next year."
Nothing gets my attention more than monkeys on commercials, so I would have said that.
I don't know. That baby on the commercial that vomits on his phone.
I like that too. Babies and monkeys.
I like the baby.
The E-Trade guy.
Yeah. The E-Trade baby. I think that baby's solid.
Did anyone get the ShamWow for Christmas?
No, I actually thought about it.
No, but I did get that super putty thing.
Oh, I did too.
I can't wait to use it on something.
My sister.
I'm looking for something.
The caulk thing?
No, not the
The magic. The you roll it up and it turns.
No, you didn't
hold it back.
The Billy Miles. Kidding me?
No, seriously. My sister gave me. There was this big wrapped thing, and it had the putty in it, some lights. It had five different items that were as seen on TV. She must have gone to one of those stores and said, "Well, I can't think of anything else to buy."
Bath and Beyond had it all.
And I was mad because I wanted the Pro Caulk.
I didn't want that because I wouldn't even try.
That's caulk.
Putty.
Amateur caulk is fine for you.
I have a perfect thing. Somebody gave me.
See, I didn't say anything.
Somebody gave me
one
of those things.
Thank you. You're a prince.
It's like a garden hose thing that you attach to your foundation, and you need the cement drill. And you, but I'm wondering if this putty will hold that up.
Right.
No,
I don't
think
it's supposed to.
I'm sure it will.
I know it's supposed to. And on the commercial, there's two cars trying to pull it up.
Right. No. So this is the test. If it works for that, then I think
you should be happy if it holds your coffee cup.
Do you need that?
I need a cement drill.
Why can't you put it
on
your house?
So why don't you just get one of those hoses that has the wrap up?
No, this was given to me, and it's just sitting there because it's a lot of.
But you can't connect it to the house?
No, you have to put it into cement, into the foundation.
So you have to cut out cut out a hole in the cement.
Yeah, it drills into the cement.
Wait, what? A reel?
It's a reel for a hose, so it's got a lot of
tension on it. Nail it or bolt it to the house somewhere on the wood.
On the shingles?
Yeah.
No, it'll come right off.
No, it won't.
Yes, it will.
And besides, why do you want?
I'm no expert, but putting holes in your foundation doesn't sound like a good idea.
It doesn't sound good. No.
Yeah,
cracks, leaks,
water.
Well,
that's why I want to use this putty.
Once it falls off, then what are you going to do?
See, then I say it doesn't work.
I had those, and I took
a hole
down
on the foundation.
I bought my house, and I got the hoses that they're separate. They have
the
attached cart. Yeah,
a little cart.
I have two of them, one in the front, one in the back.
I like the cart because you can
move
it around.
I want you, Mr. Perfect.
I'm not drilling holes in the foundation of my house.
I have one in the front and the back.
Sounds like a night at Eric's. Yet again.
Now.
Why didn't you stay upstairs to finish PFW?
I did finish.
Why?
Now I'm here. Sorry,
no,
Eric.
You should have stayed up there.
I don't make the jokes. I just finish them. Fred is the guy serving it up.
I don't make the jokes.
I'm like Randy Moss. I just catch the pass. I don't decide when it's thrown.
Well, we did establish before you got here, we did establish that Andy doesn't believe in Santa Claus anymore, but he still sits on men's laps.
Eric.
That's Eric.
Oh, Eric.
Thanks for screwing that up.
I did actually sit on Santa's chair this year.
Did you?
Because Jackson wouldn't let go. So I'm half in the picture trying to lean out, holding him.
I would have liked that picture.
Yeah, there's an extra knee, an extra hand kind of part of my head.
Someone's at the door.
This is Pro Football Hall of Famer Andre Tippett. Now it's time for Andy Hart's. Are you kidding me? I'm in the Hall of Fame. I'm not doing this.
He's quick in there because we talked about putty for, less than the last 5 minutes? Mm-hmm. And today's phrase is putty rub. Putty rub.
All right.
Anything you can enlighten us on?
Probably not.
It involves a nose and a hole.
Sawyer from Waterloo, I thought I'd get my 2 cents in the off-season programming. I'm fine with you guys being on as much as possible. My biggest worry would be the show turning into another big show, talking mainly about the Red Sox and throwing very little about the Pats in when a listener reminds you about the Pats. It would probably start in the off-season with every intention on getting back to the Pats, and then the Sox are in the playoffs and the Pats just keep getting put on the back burner. The show is great the way it is, minus Eric. Oh, wait, that is the way it is. You guys will always be able to fill up a show. I can email the word televangelist, and you guys would argue for at least 15 minutes.
Who's this moron?
Oh.
Sawyer.
Oh. Okay, that moron. Okay.
He's a long-time moron with
long
this show.
Long-time moron, yeah.
Have some respect to a Hall of Famer.
Who? What?
Sawyer. He's been around for a long time. Have some respect.
Oh, Hall of Famer. I thought you were lumping him in with you.
Did you guys talk about the latest on Pioli? I don't know what.
Depends what the latest is.
Well, obviously the Cleveland thing, but there's also one of the reports has a league source saying he's also been asked to interview in either Kansas City or Detroit.
Not Kansas City.
See, this one didn't say Detroit definitively. It said
one or the
other. One or the other. They didn't know which.
Well, Sal Pal indicated
Kansas City
that
makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Detroit wouldn't?
Romeo has on the record said he would consider staying in Cleveland in a lesser capacity and would love to talk to Scott if he gets it, but would also want to talk to the head coach because
sure,
he feels like communication is key moving forward there, which to me tells
be that he didn't have communication.
No,
with
Savage. Word there is it was a split. It was Romeo and it was Savage.
No question.
Well, reading between the lines, yeah. He wants to be sure
that doesn't happen. And Savage is another GM who
shouldn't have his own radio
always
show.
Worried about his job because he lacks confidence and he knows he shouldn't be doing what he's doing.
Oh, and I don't know if you talked about this. Tannenbaum has reportedly agreed to step down.
Oh.
Not officially. If whatever Cower wants, the Jets will do to get Cower.
That's nice of Tannenbaum to agree to step down when he shouldn't be in a job.
Shouldn't be there at
all. Woody, don't worry. If you want to bring in Bill, I have no problems handing over you just put me somewhere else.
What a mess.
I think that was the latest.
Can't believe he
I said earlier the Cowboys are becoming the Raiders. I think the Jets are starting to become the Cowboys.
Yeah. Oh. I'm surprised.
Without the winning, of course.
Yeah.
But before the Cowboys were the Raiders, weren't they like a 7-time Super Bowl champion? So wouldn't the old Cowboys be a good thing?
No, the new Cowboys, I mean.
But if the new Cowboys are the Raiders.
Right, and the Jets are becoming what the Cowboys... Oh, shut up.
I think the Bills have become the Chiefs.
That's another one, by the way. Now they're saying Buffalo Wednesday, they'll let Dick Geron know. If you need that long to let... Don't you think that he's going to get fired? They're probably trying to work out a buyout because if he had done that extension that was well reported that he did actually sign it, that's all they're doing. They're trying
maybe
to work
it takes
out
that long to explain to Hunt. I mean, Ralph Wilson, what's going on? Because you know, Hunt.
Well, it might be trying to explain to Dick Geron that look, the clock is running, so you don't run the ball on third down.
Oh my God! By the way,
what a terrible game he coached on Sunday.
He's a nice man, though.
Very nice.
He's a nice man.
Good coordinator.
There was something that we talked about before you got here that I wanted to fill you in on, but I forgot what it was now.
Lunch?
I lost my train of thought.
We didn't get lunch today.
No, it was football related.
The draft?
I forget. No, it was having to do with coaches and changes and things like that. Oh, at the press conference, the Jets press conference where they announced that they got rid of Mangini, did you see it at all?
No.
They had Woody Johnson sitting next to Tannenbaum. And Dan Leberfeld from Jets Confidential asked, you know, Brett Favre was saying that, you know, his shoulder might be hurt, blah, 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 you know, that it's been that way for a while. And he said, well, why didn't 4 weeks ago, you know, because you just mentioned that he might go for an MRI now that the season's over. Why, an MRI takes 10 minutes. Why didn't you have him do one 4 weeks ago? And Woody Johnson actually said, well, MRIs are up to the player. That's what he said. I'm not kidding. I couldn't believe it. I mean, Woody Johnson should not be doing press conferences if that's what he thinks.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You know?
That's
unbelievable.
How did Tannenbaum keep his job?
I say he doesn't keep it. I don't think he's going to keep it. Something's going to happen.
That could be true. I mean, certainly if they get somebody who's going to control the show. But, I mean, how did he... I mean, even I read some Florio thing where he threw in, I'll just blame Mangini. It seems like that's what Tannenbaum did. I mean, he's the one who traded for Brett Favre, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Eric Mangini was not the full show there. He was hired by Tannenbaum.
Yeah. I don't understand it. We said it before. If you're going to clean house, clean house.
Right.
And don't predicate it on, well, if this guy comes, I'll leave. Just get rid of whoever you need to get rid of.
Woody Johnson gave him, I forgot what the number was, but $100 million or whatever they spent last year on all those guys. It didn't work.
But, you know, if you're Woody Johnson, okay, how much do you really know about football and finding a coach? Your second in command is Tannenbaum. What do you do? If you get rid of Tannenbaum, you have to do this search yourself.
Yeah, but Tannenbaum can't find one. He already
proved it. No, I understand.
What does Tannenbaum know about it?
No, but my point is that he's between a rock and a hard place because...
But you do what you do. You do research. You talk to people. You have...
Yeah.
You find...
I guess.
You find the out-of-work Bill Parcells.
Right.
Or whoever. You know, there's a lot of guys out there. Ron Wolf.
Dan Reeves did it for Houston, right?
There's guys that you can count on, and you bring them in and say, listen, I need some advice here.
Dan Reeves got paid, I believe, either $500,000 or $1 million to consult on one of these
things. I guess you'd have to do that.
That's what you do. It's like
Atlanta.
Okay, all
right. As an NFL owner, shouldn't you at least have an idea of who the people are?
I don't know.
I'll tell you, after I rode that elevator with him, I'm not sure he has it.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that
he's smart enough to, I mean,
he's not smart enough to know that an MRI should not be up to the player.
But my point is, what other businesses he has? When he's coming out with a new soap, I don't think he knows everything there is about soap. He finds out people who know about soap.
Right.
Not you, by the way.
I know a lot about soap. We all do.
But
isn't
that
what
you do? If you're in a position to make a decision and you don't have the information, you get the information.
Right. But, you know,
and you don't rely on the guy that failed you once
already.
You've
got a short window here because there's a lot of teams looking for, and some teams that haven't said they're looking yet, but that might be. And so, you know, you're kind of all in the pool fishing at the same time here.
And I also think,
you know, you got to act fast.
You have to have the confidence to interview a guy and say, is he the guy I want running my team or not?
Is this the man?
Right. I mean, can't you sit down and say, he feels like a head coach, he doesn't? Yeah. I do it as a reporter. What's his name in Buffalo? Tall guy, long hands.
Tall guy, long hands.
Mularkey. Didn't feel like a head coach to me.
Oh, boy.
If I had done the interview with him, he would not have been hired. And I know nothing.
Jim Zorn. We said that at the combine.
Jim Zorn. Remember? I was right again.
Oh, he did all right.
I mean, he's going to stay.
He's not going to win the Coach of the Year award.
No.
No, but he's going to keep his job.
Not bad for a first-year coach.
Well, but 6-2 and then 2-6.
I know.
And his quarterback is expecting major changes or whatever.
And Zorn's saying no.
Right. Exactly. And he's still doing. What did they do that stupid thing when they won? Heidi, Heidi, he or something. Heidi, Heidi, ho.
Like
or
that, yeah.
Hip, hip, hooray.
You know
hip,
it all went,
yeah.
It all went downhill hip, after hooray. That.
Yeah. That was not
that
what
Kenny Mayne.
Larry Johnson wants out of Kansas City.
Again.
Shock.
This is surprising.
Alejandro writes in, hello, Fred, Paul, Annie, Eric, and Dan. I'm not sure if Paul and Fred have already fought, but just in case, do you like celebrating New Year's Eve? It's a good question.
I like celebrating it, but I don't really like going out a lot because right. I think it's amateur hour.
I don't like going out to one of those pay $50
oh,
and
yeah. Definitely
you get your
like
champagne brunch. I like
by the
being
way,
with
check
friends.
Out CBS Scene.
I like being with friends at New
Aren't
Year's
Eve. Aren't we advertising
I do, too.
That?
See, wow,
well, go
Fred, we're not going to be – we're not making the listeners happy.
Well, no, if you go with a bunch of people, I guess it's okay. But, you know, I like New Year's Eve with friends.
I agree.
I like everything with friends.
I don't like the huge. I don't like the huge parties.
No,
you wouldn't be a Times Square person.
No way.
God, no.
You would never do that. No.
Never went to first night once.
I would never go to Times
really?
Square.
Never went to first night once.
No.
I wouldn't mind doing that once, just to say you were part of the experience.
Yeah,
but Times Square is
too many people.
Yeah, that's you're packed in there.
I know.
I don't like going to malls, never mind where it's literally packed in.
Yeah, I don't want to go anywhere where there's police barriers.
And you've never done like a Boston first night or anything?
I just said it.
I did it once.
I've never gone to first night.
I did first night in Keene, New Hampshire once. I did.
That must
it
been,
was just Fred going, woo!
they had a thing.
He'd get up on the roof of his house and say, hey!
I've done them in Providence a couple of times.
Did
but,
the Jim Zorn.
You know, New York would be something. One of those things you got to check
but
off on your
all
list.
All you're doing is standing there doing nothing.
But there's too many people. That's the part that... I don't want to be – I mean, you could die in that. If a riot, you're going to die.
I'd rather be in a place with friends eating good food, drinking, you know. That's
what if you were in New York for New Year's?
With
just
good friends
not just,
in,
not necessarily
in a place,
Times Square.
That'd
but.
Be fine as long as I'm with people I like. Yeah. Sure.
See, that's how I feel about watching games, but you get mad at me.
It's different.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, what I'm doing in those low working days. Here's a rundown of the AFC East wins, not counting divisional games. 2002, 23 wins. 2004, 24. 03 is 04. 04 is 26.
What?
Anyway, he goes on to get to 08, which is 26 wins in the AFC. The years with the most wins were 04 and 08. The common thread was that the AFC East was paired with the NFC West. With that in mind, I have two questions. Is this year's AFC East record of three winning teams overrated?
Yes.
And is the Patriots' 11 wins overrated?
A little, but not a lot. Because the Patriots are a good team. I mean, they've proven that over the last, eight years. Right? Yeah. So they've proven that over time. I think the Jets haven't proven that they're a good team. The Dolphins haven't proven that this, mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. We'll see if they have staying power. But the Patriots, to me, they're always going to be in the 11, 12, 13-plus win category. I mean, they've won 14 twice and 16. I don't think they're overrated. I think the other teams are a little overrated. I think the schedules were very beneficial.
On the phone is Phil from Nova Scotia.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey. Before the playoffs start, I just want to know who you guys have for the Super Bowl.
That's a good question.
Well, the two teams I had are not in the playoffs.
You know, I think it's crazy, but I could definitely see the Eagles and the Chargers in the Super Bowl.
Really?
I can't see the Eagles. The Chargers are playing very well.
I think the Colts are going to host the Ravens for the AFC title.
I think that if Ben Roethlisberger is healthy, I like a Pittsburgh Giants Super Bowl. And if not, then I like an Indy Giants Super Bowl.
Yeah, actually, Pittsburgh Giants is what I was thinking. And actually, in August, I picked Pittsburgh to go to the Super Bowl. for some reason. So, yeah, I think Indy and Giants is a good second choice too.
I could easily though see San Diego upsetting Indianapolis this week.
I could too. I think that's going to be a very tough game for Indy.
And if that happens, all bets are off. I think anyone in the AFC could go at that point.
Although,
and
did you see LaDainian already?
He said he's going to play.
Oblique.
I'm going to try.
Yeah,
I'm going to try. Sure, right. You will. You'll be on the bench in the first quarter, you pansy.
Groin problem.
I also don't like the way the Giants have played recently, so I don't know that they're necessarily a lock to make it on the
and
NFC.
Patriots fans should root against the Colts Giants because that's like
Eli
and Peyton for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't want to see that matchup.
Put a bullet in his head.
I don't want to see that matchup for that reason because
it'll be insufferable.
It'll be even worse what they do with Favre. But I disagree with how the Giants are playing. I think the Giants did it again in a meaningless game for them. They lost on a 50-yard field goal with no time left. At Minnesota, who needed everything to win the game. I think that, and they played a great game the week before to win the number one overall seed against Carolina. I think they had a bad game against Philadelphia at home. That's really the only one that I thought
I felt like they were a much better team in the first half of the season than the second half, though.
But that happens. I mean, you just, it's kind of,
I'd rather go to the Patriots and go 16.
And they were a much better team in the first half of that season than they were in the second half. I mean, I think it just kind of happens.
Yeah. As long as there's a good Super Bowl, that's all I care about. Like a Super Bowl where I'm not throwing up at the end. I think that would be good.
Yeah, you should avoid that.
You don't want
Colts
an Indy Giants
game.
Yeah, at least you're guaranteed not to be throwing up because you can't care that much.
Football, you know, I don't care who's playing.
Plus, you'll have the whole thing where they won the MVP consecutive years. Now one of them can win it again.
Here's what would be the best Super Bowl matchup this year. Atlanta and Baltimore. Two rookie quarterbacks. How great a story would that be?
Be hard to hate it.
Rookie coaches, rookie quarterbacks.
It wouldn't be great for ratings.
I don't think you'd have any problem with ratings.
I don't think you'd have any problem
with
the Super Bowl.
Do we have to get into this again?
The AFC title game will be higher rated.
Do we really have to get into this again?
It's not just the ratings of the game itself. It's the ratings of all the programming before it as well.
Okay, so now he'd love to change it.
And if Atlanta makes it,
this look on his face.
If Atlanta makes it, you have a New England connection to root for. You have Thomas Dimitroff. Their GM.
Yeah. And Ryan.
And Matt Ryan, the BC kid. So
that'd be a reason for me to root against.
You know, that makes me think of something, Eric. I'm glad you brought that up because earlier I was thinking, you know, the fact with Weiss, Crennel, Mangini is not necessarily helping guys that come out of the Patriots system, but I forgot about Thomas Dimitroff.
That's right.
He is a product of the system and he is thriving. So,
but he's not a coach.
No, but he still came from here.
Part of that tree.
So maybe the scouting system works and the coaching can't get done without the guy at the top.
Maybe. I don't know.
So that would be an argument for throwing everything you have at Scott Pioli.
Exactly.
And maybe against doing the same to Josh McDaniels.
That's right.
Unless Pioli brings McDaniels.
And it's too bad if Pioli does leave, it's too bad that Dimitroff left a year early because then he would have been the guy naturally to take over here. And it looks like he can do the job. So,
I'm starting to feel
if he wins in Atlanta, does he really say too bad?
No, not for him. I'm talking about Patriots fans would be saying.
Right. Yeah, he could be next in line running. But I got to think Nick Caserio is thought of pretty
guys,
well.
Thanks.
Yeah.
See ya.
He's wrapping
Happy
us up.
New Year.
All right, Phil. Sorry to bore you, Phil.
Thanks, Phil.
we'll give you a call again next show. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Sorry we got in the way.
We'll get back to you.
I got to think Nick Caserio is well thought of. I know he's young, but I mean, anytime they need something, he does it, and I got to think he would have a chance to get promoted.
Yeah, I agree. The concern,
he's director of pro player
pro,
personnel,
pro,
right
pro
now.
Personnel, pro personnel. Yeah. The concern would be not necessarily who would take over for Pioli, because I think you're right. But now all of a sudden, you know, Caserio had to take Dimitrov's job. Well, who took Casario's job?
Right.
And then when he moves up to Pioli's job, well, who takes Casario's job last year? Who took Dimitrov? Now, all of a sudden, you have guys that probably aren't quite ready underneath. Maybe Nick is ready.
Right.
Okay, but maybe the guy, and I don't know how.
Same thing we saw in coaching.
I don't know.
Mangini left, and you had a year
where
Collier comes in, and then the second that he was gone, and maybe they didn't get quite what they wanted there out of that.
That would be the concern for me. And I don't know the hierarchy within the scouting department. You know, which area scouts and regional scouts are thought of higher or whatever.
You gotta think some of them are.
Or potentially if those guys are interested in, you know, Larry Cook is still around. I don't necessarily think that he is a...
What do you mean by that?
No, he's been around for forever. Okay. He's been in the scouting department for a long time.
There's his brother.
Bino?
Not his brother.
Oh, Lee Corso? Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
you knew what I was talking about.
Well, only because I know you.
I'm starting to feel like there is a decent chance... Now, I know there's a lot of variables here that everybody talks about the trifecta, Pioli, McDaniels, Castle, but
don't you think there's a pretty good chance that two of them end up together?
I think there's a very good chance.
Because you're talking about a group of what, you know, most teams that need a quarterback are bad teams that need a coach, too, and are turning over and everything. It's all kind of one group of 8 to 10 teams, and you got to think all three of those feel pretty comfortable with the other two in that.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance that two of them, and now it would have to be the perfect scenario for all three. Because
right,
now,
and that's,
you know,
hard.
Like Cleveland right now is certainly interested in both Pioli and McDaniels, but they don't fit
the third.
Can't
just get rid of the two quarterbacks.
They don't fit the third criteria.
Throw $50 million at Castle.
Matt in Connecticut's calling in. Matt, how you doing?
Pansy.
All right.
Wow.
Oh. What's up, Matt?
Are you still on suicide watch, Fred? Or?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I've come to terms with this. I think the Patriots did everything they could do, and it's Super Bowl in 09, I'm convinced.
Okay. I can't listen live, but so stop me if you already talked about this. But they've been talking a lot about how like San Diego's gotten in with the 8-8 record, and that kind of doesn't bug me as much of them getting in since they, you know, kind of thrashed us when we played them. But I'm kind of more annoyed that Miami gets in because of a tiebreaker. For the tiebreaker was conference record, right?
I believe it was record in common games, common opponents.
Thought it was, you sure it wasn't conference record?
No, I'm pretty sure it was common opponents.
No, it was division record. They had a better division.
You talking about the Miami tiebreaker?
Miami and the Patriots were 4-2 in the division, and I think they all had the same. They had the same 9 wins, same 10 wins.
It was conference, Paul. Miami was 7-4. New England was 6-5.
I don't believe that's accurate.
It was conference because the Dolphins beat the Chargers. It is accurate because that's the Chargers.
Right, and that's a common opponent.
What, they had a better conference record than us?
They did have a better conference record, but I believe the first tiebreaker that they won was common opponents.
No, that's incorrect.
Yes,
it's incorrect, Paul. They were 7-1, and New England was 7-1 against common opponents. I did the math because I had to do an SPFW on it.
There's 12. Okay,
they had 8 common opponents, not including the division.
I thought they have more. I think they have.
But if you include that, they were both 4-2.
Okay, I thought there was.
No, I had to.
I thought there was an extra loss in common opponents there.
No,
but I might be mistaken.
It was the fourth tiebreaker, which was conference.
Okay. All right, I thought it was common opponents.
Dolphins were 8-4, we were 7-5.
I know they had a better conference record. I thought they had a better record in common games.
What
common
comes better
games is first
in the tie-breaking procedure?
Common opponents
is first.
Okay, so
after division.
And you're saying, Eric, that they both had a 7-1
right.
Common opponents.
Yes.
Record.
Well, the number's wrong there, but if they had the same record in common opponent, they had more than 8 common games is my point.
If you count the division, yes.
But you would.
You would. That's still common.
But they were tied in the division anyway. So I was just counting the non-division opponents because
right.
that's
but
what the tiebreaker would have been.
But
so
my
it's
mistake was
3.
Yeah, my mistake was I thought that they had
correct.
I thought the Dolphins had one game better in common, so obviously they didn't.
No.
That's where I was mistaken.
Dolphins and Patriots were both 11-3 in common opponents.
Right. Which okay. I thought the Dolphins had a one game edge in common opponents. I thought we worked that out that they all had the same 10 wins.
Right, and Eric,
but I guess
doesn't
I was
the
wrong.
Fact that the Dolphins beat the Jets in that last game give them
no, they both went 4-2.
No,
in the
common
division.
Yeah, they had the same
no,
division.
No, but common
record.
Opponent.
No,
division is common.
Division
is common opponent. They had the same division record.
When did you do your ask PFW before?
Before the Buffalo game.
Okay, all right.
So they would have been tied.
So nothing changed in that last
week.
Nothing
changed in that last week, no.
All right. So, but then the tiebreaker that they lost on was conference.
Conference,
record,
yes.
Right? Okay. So, but they don't, in the conference record, that's not the same schedule. Patriots played different games in the conference, right?
A little bit.
We played Pittsburgh and we played Indy, and they didn't. They had an easier schedule than us. They played Houston.
Well, they played Baltimore and Houston.
Right.
Baltimore and Houston.
That's why they do common first.
Exactly.
But don't you think it would make more sense to do non-conference schedule as the tiebreaker, since that's at least the same schedule.
It really gets down to the fourth tiebreaker, so I think the way the system is fine.
I mean, I personally think that it's not much of a difference between Baltimore and Houston and Pittsburgh and Indy.
You're
playing
for an AFC playoff spot, so I see the reasoning why you want to count
as many AFC
games
as you can.
It's the AFC playoffs.
Yeah, but when you do that, you
eliminate the Patriots and you're mad.
Exactly.
but it's
different
games.
Took us an hour and 47 minutes, though. I'm a little proud.
But like I said, it rarely comes down to that. They had to go four deep in the tiebreakers in order to settle it. It almost never comes right. down to
and
that.
And I agree with, who said it? One of the players said.
Richard Seymour. Yeah.
Seymour.
Eric Look at the playoff teams.
Right.
We lost.
Right. So,
they went 2-4 against playoff teams.
You don't deserve to be in. And I think the Indy one is still the worst one. I saw the Globe did a thing today, Fred. Did you see that? Where they did like seven reasons they're not in. It was like a picture.
Yeah.
There was no Indy picture.
That's crazy.
To me, that's
Indy
crazy.
And the Jets are the two games
huge
you look back.
Yeah,
on.
They had that Absolutely. One in, but they had like, they had ones I didn't agree with.
I mean, the Gaffney drop, the Dave Thomas penalty.
You could have easily won that. That was,
yeah.
You lost that game.
Yeah.
The Steelers
they were killing
beat
themselves.
You lost that game.
That's right.
I was telling these guys.
And I thought
Indy.
Miami beat them. Fair,
with,
you know,
with
beat
Ty,
them.
Ty the and Vince game, yesterday yeah. were killing themselves trying to even decide which one killed them more, the Jets or the
right.
Colts. And the Colts, obviously, they played well, but they
yeah.
made huge mistakes when the game was on the line. And then the Jets, they played like crap for too
right.
long, and, you know, their comeback fell short.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Get to class.
John writes in. John is from, doesn't say. What's 864? What's that area code?
I don't know.
Anyway,
I got hose.
He has ideas for the off-season PFW in Progress show. First is professional development, how to win friends and insult people, starring Fred in his 1,500 words he should not say on the air.
1,500?
Dine out. It may be bad food, but it is free, featuring reviews of delivery places in Foxborough which take out-of-state credit cards. Starring Paul or Andy, I still get you two confused.
Hey. Andy's pretty good-looking for a white guy, though.
Interior decorating, how to make your house too good for anyone with no formal art training, starring Eric. Personal awareness, your voice
I have
and you.
No
a show about
formal artistic training.
Right. Personal awareness, your voice and you. A show about a 20-something-year-old waiting for his voice to change, starring Dan Tugender. Anti-aging show. Diminishing skills, expert evaluation of old talent. Oh,
you know
hell, I
is.
Can't even type this with a straight face, starring Andy or Paul. I can't put a
I
name.
Can't
that
was
voice.
Paul.
So that's ideas from John in the 864 area code for off-season.
The 864. He's got the little
He's got the eye black.
Tugender, I want to know now. Can you look that up when you get a chance, what 864 is?
Dagmar from Florida is on the phone.
This is a record for calls now.
Thank you.
Yeah, that put us over the top. Dagmar, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up, Dag?
Say hi. What's up, Fred, Andy, Paul?
How are you, man?
Eric. Well, I don't know. I don't know exactly how many of you are over there because I just tuned in. So
we're all
basically,
here.
I don't know who's in the studio today.
We're all
I heard
here
Fred
today.
And somebody else, but I don't know. But anyways, I want to say hello to everybody. Give you thanks for a wonderful years of your service on the program. I missed the opportunity to give you guys a call prior to Christmas, but anyways, I'm wishing you guys for what is left for the year. Wishing you know you guys the program and in your family the best, and keep it up with the program. Well, about the season, it's been a pretty you know. Up and down roller coaster season, but what else can we ask for? You know, we had overcome many adversities, and this is definitely something that we need to learn. And let's move on.
Absolutely, could I think you put it all in a nutshell there?
Well,
a
said.
Big nutshell, but
you know, yeah.
you got it all in there, Dagmar.
Yeah,
a walnut,
we should
maybe.
Feel proud, actually. There's a lot of many teams out there that they wish they had the chance to win at least 11 games. Too bad that the 11 games are enough for us to get us in the playoffs, but, you know, what can you do?
Yep.
What's the mood like down there in Miami now that the Dolphins are in the playoffs?
Oh, man. You know what? Like I said before, I have more friends that are Dolphin fans. I think I told you guys this before on an email or on a call that I did before, but...
Yep.
It's crazy down here. They're all bragging, and on TV is even worse because they show all these Joey Porter comments about Chad Pennington, which aren't wrong. But they're all, you know, on the Sperano Coach of the Year move, on the Chad Pennington that he should be on the Pro Bowl over Dan Faber, which I do think it should be, you know, because actually he has better numbers and all that. But the overall feeling down here is that, you know, Miami and all the Dolphins fans, they're pretty much on a, you know, like this, okay, now we're going all the way. I heard that on the TV the other day. I was like, wait. There's a lot of teams out there competing for the same. So, you know, it's kind of a crazy move down here.
Yeah, I think they're in for some disappointment if they think they're going all the way.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I honestly talked to a lot of friends of mine who are Dolphin fans prior to the season. I say, it is going to be a good year for the Fins if they are able to get to 6 wins. Actually, they went over that, and like I said, I told them, hey, heads up to you guys, and let's see what you can do in the playoffs. I know they have now the Ravens, which is a tough team to play, yeah, especially in the first week. But let's see what they do, and let's get ready. Let's get our pads ready for next year, and hopefully we won't have that many losses during the season, players getting hurt, and you know, we will be in a better chance. Let's have a good draft, and let's see.
Okay, Dagmar. Well, that's Dagmar good from stuff. Florida. Good stuff. Bring
covered
it in.
A variety.
He had a manifesto he was going over there.
Absolutely. No, you had to get it all in. Let's see.
That's
Dagmar.
Not.
TG and NJ writes in, guys, I thought it would be 9-7 after Brady went down, 11-5. I'm pleasantly surprised. Nevertheless, I'm bummed that the season's over, but I'm very happy that Chad got his revenge and Rat Genie is gone.
Rat Genie, who, by the way, we're getting asked PFW, will he or should he come back?
Yeah, no.
Is he not Rat Genie
Eric
anymore?
Eric brought that up.
Listening to the Jet bitching down there on the local stations has been consoling. And yo, Paulie, good job this morning with that iconoclast, Felgi. Rather listen to you than the usual guys there at that slot. I second that notion. You made a great point this morning about the draft pick order and the fact that the two teams in the playoffs, Chargers and Arizona, whose record is worse than the Patriots, have higher draft picks than the Patriots. Well,
there's two others, Minnesota and
yeah.
Yeah,
there's four of them.
There's four teams, Minnesota and Philly.
Yep. Is Fred aware of this? Should be a point to get him going, don't you think? No, I'm okay with it.
Fred has already decided that they're going to win the Super Bowl next year anyway,
that's
so it
right.
doesn't really matter
it
where we
matter.
Draft.
Great work as usual this season. Can't wait for the offseason. Banter on back hair, vacuum cleaners, Andy's disgusting bodily functions, and everything non-football related. So that's TG and NJ.
That's great. Because TG, TG doesn't give us a whole lot to have to live up to.
No.
You know, that's the best part of the offseason.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress, our last show of 2008. So we will see you next Tuesday in 2009. And we're going to be going every Tuesday and Thursday from, Thursday.
Next Tuesday is, Fred?
What?
Take a wild guess. Next Tuesday. Eric's birthday.
Ding, 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 ding.
I should know that.
I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't.
No.
He wants you to get a male strippers.
Oh, okay.
I think my wife's birthday is.
You get it? Because never mind.
All right, but
because
again.
Because he's Dagmar.
Again. Runs with hay.
Any quick.
I am not.
Because I need to get some food before we go to the TV show.
I was wondering why you're wrapping this up 5 minutes early.
Any quick.
We weren't even doing picks.
Quick wrap up of 08.
And we need food for next Tuesday if anybody's listening.
Yeah.
Quick wrap up.
I like all the I like all the road teams, by the way, over the weekend.
All the road teams over the weekend.
I like all of them except Indianapolis.
Okay.
I'm just happy for Matt Cassel. Every time he takes the field, he makes more money, and I think he deserves it. I think he's a great guy.
I think we will thank 08
that, by the
for
way.
The Super Bowl in 09. Mark my words.
We will what?
We will thank 08 for what happened this year for winning the Super Bowl in 09.
Okay.
All right. We will talk to you in 2009 and see you next Tuesday.